The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is,
Paul Perillo,
and Eric Scalavino.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is,
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff, I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota.
And Eric Scalavino.
I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Paul Perillo and Eric Scalavino.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, media day, which means Rex Ryan had perhaps his final phone conference with the Boston media.
As the coach of the Jets.
The coach of the Jets, yep.
You never know. He could be back. Miami.
That's being a jackass.
He could be.
Sucking up to Belichick, too, I hear.
Oh, yeah. It was all, you know, roses and champagne.
First ballot today. Hall of Famer.
Yep. As well as Tom Brady. First ballot Hall of Famer. You know, they're the best, and, you know, you always just want to compete with the best, and we'll be sure to be giving them our best, and they'll be sure to be give us their best, so on and so forth.
Are you mocking him?
A little bit.
It sounds like he's trying to.
A little bit.
So now you're not allowed to say the truth.
You know he doesn't believe that.
Right. You don't think he... Wait a minute.
No, I actually think he believes that they're both great in first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah, you don't think he believes that?
No, about the whole, you know, he doesn't respect the Patriots like he's saying he does.
Oh, I think he does.
I don't think
so. I
think you're out of your mind.
Yeah. I think he, as he said, he's, what did he say, jealous or whatever the word he used?
Envious.
Are you going to ask me, honest?
Does he really like Belichick? Probably not. But don't tell me he doesn't respect and think he's good.
I'm not even sure he dislikes him.
I'm not sure that they dislike each other.
But that's my point. I think there may be this back... they're very similar, football family guys, and I think they sort of... are intrigued by the other in that you're that and became this bombastic guy. I'm this, and we're both really good defensive coaches, and just sort of the differences between them despite the immense similarities. I think there's, you know, Bill saying he's just buttering me up. I the whole foot thing, I think there is not only respect, I think there's an intrigue there between the two. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think that there's I think as much animosity between the two as probably most people believe.
I think Rex probably, in some part of his head, said, like, I wonder what it would be like if I was like Bill and didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, today he said it's only going to be yes and no answers. No, just kidding. Like, you can't do it. But I
imagine if he did it, like, the last day. Right. Now I'm going to do it.
And I think there's probably a part of Bill that says, like, you know, that's kind of funny the way he does, looks at it and almost thinks, what would it be like if I did that and just, you know, was Mr. Jocular say it all?
I think Ryan is too insignificant for Bill to dislike.
I think you're totally wrong.
I think
if you asked Bill to name the best defensive coaches in football right now, Rex Ryan would be somewhere around slot one.
I think he's insignificant to Bill.
I think you're so dead wrong on that. Insignificant to Bill is you and me and Paul.
Well, me, for certain.
Yeah. He's anyway, so this is it. This is it, getting ready for the Jets game.
So you don't like when coaches are disingenuous on conference calls?
No, I could care less.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Because it seemed like you were mocking him because he was disingenuous your eyes.
I do mock Ryan, but for a lot of other reasons.
So. Right.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of other reasons.
Because it would be
him.
Disingenuous of you to criticize him for being disingenuous a day after Bill said, I don't second guess my players.
Oh, believe it. I know what you were saying.
My God.
I know.
Are you going to start that again?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not.
Get your panties in a bunch.
I knew where you wanted to steer.
I know. I could tell you knew.
So what do we got? What do we got? Anything good?
Tom Brady calling out Brandon Browner in a press conference? Just kidding. No, but did you hear him rave? He said the most impressive thing about Revis is his ability to cover without getting penalties. And I immediately thought, why doesn't he show Browner how to do it?
But he's right. I mean, it's so hard in today's NFL to cover closely like that.
Right.
And, you know, you have to know when to grab and when not to grab and, you know, when to just touch that waist. And
I wonder if Revis literally is cognizant or thinks of that. Because obviously, officials are like players. They have spots on the field where they're supposed to be for their specific
what they have to do.
And he knows, oh, we're on the hash. I can't grab him here. But once he gets to the number, I can grab him because I'm going to block.
Yeah.
I wonder if they are aware of that.
I think with a guy like him, the preparation is such a big part of it. I wouldn't be surprised to find that it goes to that detail. And I thought it was interesting listening to Dan Fouts talk about Revis got to talk to Mike Haynes at the game out in San Diego.
He was at the party.
Yeah, and they, you know, I guess Haynes was telling Dan Fouts, you know, a lot about what he admires about Revis and how he sort of wanted to pick his brain a little bit about how the game is played today, because it's been a long time since Haynes was playing, and that's a lot of the stuff that he talked about is just the film work, the study, and the preparation. I think that's a big part of Revis's game that sort of goes unnoticed is just how well prepared he is. And when you see him running the routes, like that interception he had early in the year against Minnesota, where it looked like he was running the route for the receiver, it's because he was, because he knew what the route was, and he jumped it and was able to see what was going on before it even happened. I thought that kind of stuff is pretty interesting for his game.
Also, very much a tone of we're just hoping to go down there and play a good game for once, and kind of we're just hoping to put 60 minutes together because we haven't done that, and we're hoping to score the points we haven't been scoring because we haven't done that. A lot of sort of that,
all true though
mentality to Brady's tone in his press conference.
And I think that, you know, you can make the case if they don't, they could lose this game, right?
I couldn't.
You can lose any game,
right?
You can lose any game,
right?
I don't think they will.
I don't either.
Trent. If you lose.
Well,
you can't win if you lose.
I was looking at matchups this week for all the, you know, the various games, and to me it's a week where I could either go 15-1 or 1-15. The one game I know I'm going to get is the Patriots game. They're not going to lose, but all these other ones, there's some intriguing matchups this week and at this point in the season.
I love how he thinks the only team impervious. Like, just there's no way they could lose. But
you just said the same thing. That's why I
didn't say that there's 15 other games that couldn't go the way. You don't think there's another game on the schedule that is a lock? Patriots is the only lock on the schedule?
No, it's not for me.
Okay.
Not for me. I think that
I don't even know what the matchups are, and I guarantee you there's at least four or five of them.
It's that crazy a year, and I'm not saying that every team that's playing, you know, they're not all equally matched, but, you know, like Dallas is playing, I forget who. You know,
Indy.
I'm picking Indy in that game, even though it's in Dallas. But who knows? If Dallas plays well, they'll definitely win that game, but you don't know who Dallas is.
See, well, that's part of the problem is it's up to you, you know, the eye of the beholder, who you deem. I think if Indy plays well, they would win that game because I think Indy's a much better team than Dallas.
Oh, I'm picking Indy.
But I think Dallas could run the ball right down Indy's throat.
Exactly.
I mean, I could see that happening too.
So that's what I'm saying.
But that means Indy wouldn't play well.
I could easily be 15-1 or 1-15 this week.
Okay.
You know?
And after the week, you'll tell me.
And the one game
I just don't understand why.
The one game I feel I have a handle on is the Patriots game. All the rest I don't have a handle on. You know, Paul, he's a pro.
Like, who's playing Oakland that you don't have a handle on that game? Who's playing Jacksonville that you don't have a handle on that
game? Jackson's playing Tennessee.
Yeah, that's the Thursday night game.
Okay, all right, so I'll give you that one.
See what I'm saying?
Who's playing Oakland? Like, you make it sound like this has been a wacky, wild year of upsets. Like, who's gotten upset?
Oakland upset the Chiefs.
Everybody that we thought was going to be good is good.
And the Niners.
Except for the Niners.
Oakland has a bye. No, I'm only kidding. Oakland's playing Buffalo in Oakland.
Okay, well, I feel pretty good
about
Buffalo
in
that
game. Buffalo's in the AFC East. They stink.
Does that mean they can't? Does that mean they don't stink?
Well played.
Did they stink as bad as Oakland?
No, I don't think so. I'll be picking Buffalo.
Okay,
you know,
but you could lose.
You could lose that game.
You know, Kansas City's playing Pittsburgh. I mean, It's a tough one.
Do you know Pittsburgh has the number one offense?
Is that right?
I didn't know that.
Well, they had that
I was
one
looking
stretch.
At the stats.
That is the epitome of stats lie. Because they get blown out in games
right.
that they put up all kinds of fake yardage, and that
stunned me.
Atlanta's playing New Orleans, for example. I don't know who New Orleans is, and it's in New Orleans, and all they do is lose there this year. But Atlanta, I don't like them either. I'm just saying, it's a
why don't we
tough.
Save this for Thursday?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get too into it, but you know, Paul challenged
me. No one cares
me,
about the MVP, so, but they want to break down the
schedule. I
just
think it's odd that you painted out this picture of this wild and wacky, topsy-turvy 2014 NFL season that I really don't think is – sort of developed. I mean, it sounds like there's some evenly matched games this week. I'll give you that. But, I mean, what's going to stop? I mean, San Francisco was a stunner. I thought they were going to be a good team. They're not.
Yeah. Dana criticized me because I said earlier in the show I could care less. thank you for that correction. I agree with you. I should have said I could not care
it
less.
It is an annoying.
Yes.
Everybody falls into it occasionally, yeah. but it's annoying.
I appreciate that, Dana, and I accept that criticism.
Words have meaning.
Correct? I accept that criticism, said Kirsch.
Yes.
Another tidbit out of the Brady press conference. Good friend Tom Curran asked Brady about the MVP. First, what a valuable player was, and then about Revis's value. And Curran, I heard him talk to somebody else because he doesn't talk to me, say that, you know, the thinking man's MVP candidate, Darrell Revis. He's clearly going to be making a case for
you can make a definite case for that. You know, we talked about that yesterday. Definite
wait, he
case.
Wrote it and claims it's the thinking man's? I don't buy it.
Did you hear about Woody Johnson on Twitter?
Yes, he favored that tweet. It's very easy, though.
Oh, I
in
know.
The, in the new one, because yeah. I've followed a ton of people by accident. You skip through and you hit
Woody
one of those
Woody Johnson favored what tweet?
Somebody tweeted out, you got to fire Idzik at this point.
And he favored it.
And then he said, that last favorite was inadvertent.
But it's very easy to do with those little buttons at the bottom.
Yeah.
I follow people all the time by accident. And then I wonder why this random person, I'm following his tweets.
That's funny.
That's kind of a flaw with the latest.
All right, I'm going to run down to the locker room. I'll let Andy yell at you for a while. I just wanted to get a quick one in the first 5 minutes so I wouldn't feel left out.
As soon as you see that, it's not going to be much. Come back.
I will try to get the interview for TV, which we're hoping to get Stephen Gostowski.
Right.
And then I'll
record breaker this week.
Then I'll come
Stephen
back.
Gostowski.
That's a good one. Good get.
And he's a good interview with us. He's not always good with the gangbangs, but he has a good relationship with us. He's a good
with Paul? He likes Paul?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
They shared a hot tub together and played a little footsie.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then Paul's foot went up his thigh. It was weird.
All right. Let's see. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Old friend Pete Shepard sent out a tweet this morning.
He did.
I guess somebody did a thing with him singing about how much he hates the Jets and had all our Twitter handles in there. And so he tweeted out how he missed doing the show.
Quick aside. Yeah. Not really an aside, but quick. In our paper this week, the column from Boston Sports Media. Why can't I think of his name right now?
Bruce Allen.
Bruce Allen. I believe it was Bruce Allen. The lead was about the Jets and they're crumbling and how media people like Mike Felger say, you know, it's better when the Jets are relevant and good. And he said, this is the divide between media members and fans. That
right.
I don't agree with him.
See, I do. I think it's better. For me, it's better when they stink.
Yeah, see, not me.
Yeah.
Like, if I and I'm trying to take the Patriots out of it because I cover the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I want Canadians, Bruins. I want Red Sox, Yankees. I want them to be good. That is the most fun you can have is when you have a rivalry.
Not when you're as emotionally attached as I am.
See, I disagree.
Yeah, not when you take losing as hard as I do.
Yeah, I just disagree.
Yeah.
Because
you're not as invested as I am.
No, I think I'm more invested.
No, you're invested.
And I'm invested.
You're invested in a great entertainment thing. When it comes to the Patriots, I'm not. Now, looking afar, do I love, you know, watching the Cowboys and the Giants? Absolutely. And I love that rivalry, and I love all those other rivalries. But
see,
when it comes to the Patriots, I don't want heart attacks.
I don't really give a rat's ass about the Cowboys and the other rivalries.
Well, see,
the rivalry I care about is the team I'm passionate about. And sports for
win.
Me is an entertainment, is a rush, is an emotion.
Right.
And I get the most out of that. When the other team is good, that's the rival, and we kick their ass.
Yeah, I understand.
That's like, this is a vulgar term, that's the orgasm.
No,
right? That's like the ultimate,
yeah, no,
boom, we just did what I wanted to do.
I understand that, but I also understand how I have just as much pleasure seeing the Jets in shambles, and that's fine with me.
I don't.
You know,
it's like they're going to go up there. They're going to take care of business, and it's not going to be all that enjoyable. Who cares? You beat a bad team.
But that, see, that's where I disagree. It's immensely enjoyable to just demolish. Yeah, are you kidding me?
No, I don't find it enjoyable. Why don't we just beat up on a hapless sack of players?
The butt fumble game was one of my most enjoyable nights.
That was fun because of the circumstances, the butt fumble.
Yeah.
But in terms of emotion and investment, I want it to mean something. I want there to be...
Not when it comes to the Jets.
There's nothing, anything that's great in this world is worth fighting for, all those kind of cliches, I buy into.
Yeah.
Oh, great, we'll beat up on the Jets who suck. That's fun. It was much better when they were good and it was relevant and then you beat them.
For the story, you're right. But...
No. For the emotion, my own personal pulse and blood pressure.
I'm just telling you how I feel.
Vibe. You like to beat up on crap teams. I
like to beat up on the Jets, period. Yeah.
I like rivalries.
Yeah.
I like to earn what I get. I want it to have some meaning. Yeah. There's no meaning in the AFC East right now.
I have no interest in propping up the Jets and hoping they get better. There's no interest.
Well, I don't hope they get better for their purposes. I want them to be competitive.
But you hope they get better for your purposes.
I want that to be fun.
It's a better game.
Yeah.
I'm not rooting for a better game. I'm rooting for the Patriots to just absolutely take away their manhood. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah. There's nothing in that. You're a bully. That's what you are. You're a bully.
Okay.
You're a bully.
All right. In this case, maybe I am.
I want the Celtics to have to
beat a good
team.
Well, let's hear what other people think. I mean, because I think it's a good...
I think it's an interesting topic because you and I honestly differ.
Right.
This is not, an EEI staged argument.
Right, exactly.
You don't know what you're talking about, and I'm right.
And that's why things break down. but it's a good one. The other thing I'd like to hear about from people is, send in your questions and topics and everything, but... also include if you're going down to the Jets game. I'd like to get a sense of how many Patriots fans will be in attendance.
And you should be going because, what was it last check, like $8?
Yeah, some of the tickets were $8.
I mean, if you have trouble getting in here, it's become sort of the...
But I understand the ticket price isn't really the issue. It's the drive and all that other stuff.
It's not that far.
Yeah, it's enough where, you're talking about 7 hours of driving in addition to a four-hour game, so... that's 11 hours.
I'm talking about $16 for two tickets instead of
$800. Plus parking, plus food, so it's...
No, I got to buy all that other stuff here.
I understand.
If you save me $400-$600, something like that...
And there's a lot of reason why people don't go to our games, too. So I understand if it's prohibitive because of money and time. But I just...
But they're available. The tickets are available and they're cheap.
I just said it has nothing to do with the tickets. So I just want to get a sense of, if a lot of our listeners are going down.
Now, schedule might be an issue. It is the weekend before Christmas.
That's another thing.
That's a legitimate one. None of the other ones you brought up, like driving or parking or food, make any sense at all.
Okay, so you would just drive down.
I would.
Yeah.
It's 3 hours,
you don't
4 hours.
You don't like it when something is an hour more than what you have to work here. So don't tell me that.
Whoa. You don't think I, should have the right to bitch every once in a while that I live an hour away?
Of course you do. But
Mister, I drive.
That's what I'm saying.
I haven't put gas in my car in months.
So all of a sudden, 11 hours is no big deal. When you know it as a
How
fact.
How many hours are you going to add to it?
It's 7 hours of driving and 4 hours for the game.
Right. Well, there's four hours for the game.
7 plus 4 equals 11.
So then it's at least 8 hours here. Right?
It's
at least 8 hours
and
here.
And a lot of people don't go because
it's at
of
least
that.
8 hours here.
So
I'm paying $800 for 8 hours instead of $16 for 8 hours. So once again, I'm proving you dead wrong.
Oh, God.
The only difference is the money, significant savings of money.
And I just said there's a lot of people that don't go to our games because of the same reason.
No. But if those people don't go for those reasons, that's fine. But there's a lot of people that don't go to our games because they can't get tickets or they can't afford tickets.
Right, and that's
those are eliminated in this choice. You can get cheap tickets.
That's a different conversation.
You have to spend 4 hours at a game no matter where you go. You have to drive and park no matter where you go. You have to buy beer and hot dogs no matter where you go.
Thank you. Holy crap.
That was good.
Oh, my God.
You two had that little thing going.
Johnny in L.A. writes in, Mike Reese addressed a blunt or gray question in his mailbag yesterday, and here's what he had to say, and I brought this up because it's just me and you here, and that's another. I thought Gray hit the hole quicker, and that's what they needed in this game. It wasn't like the run blocking was all of a sudden that much better. The Patriots, as we saw Sunday, will ride the hot hand. I think that means Gray and Blunt are now closer to even footing at this point. Fred, this makes no sense. Why didn't Mike become irrationally venomous and start firing back with personal insults and worthless examples of how good Blunt used to be?
Hey, Asswhite, why don't you read my Ass PFW where I addressed Gray and Blunt, too.
Before he became a bench warmer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, that's right. It's because Reese is actually a professional who has a clue about what he does for a living. I guess that's the difference between being number one on Boston's A-list versus being a know-nothing hothead who gets his words backed up by the most bitter man in the world, Paul Perillo, along with a guy who calls himself Dan and Harriet. No, it's Dan and Harriet, not Dan and Harriet.
Well, that's what you always say. You always say Dan and Harriet. Who was that? Johnny in L.A.?
Johnny in L.A.
Did I ever like him? Because I don't now. Because well, he clearly didn't read my Ask PFW, where I had very clear thought out. But 1 week does not change the argument. Many Patriots fans said simple, I've seen enough, Gray is better. That is asinine. That is absolutely an asinine assessment.
But I think most of the people are saying, I've seen something, I want to see more.
Sure, and that's fine. And anyone who says that Gray didn't hit the hole quicker last week and didn't run better doesn't know what they're talking about. Right?
Right.
That's the bottom line. In a game, he was clearly better. Is he the better NFL running back? That is asinine to say at this short span for him, given what LeGarrette Blount has accomplished for this team and in this league.
But I would say at this moment, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be willing to go all in on, if you can only pick one, your life depends on it.
Yeah,
here's
but
the guy.
There's no reason to go
exactly.
all in. With either one.
And I'd also like to know, since Mike Reese is so great, he probably has this information. And how many times did Blount run with a fullback in front of him? How many times did Gray run with a fullback in front of him?
I don't know.
I'd like to know that. And since Mike Reese is the A-lister and the best there is in the business, why doesn't Johnny in L.A. find that out?
Okay.
And by the way, I love Mike Reese. No, I do. Mike Reese and I get along very well, which is kind of weird.
It is
because we're like oil and water.
And because no one likes you.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I think plenty of people like
me. No, they've told me that.
A lot of people have told me how much they like me. Now,
to you.
But Mike Reese.
I'm just saying, when you're not in the room.
The only one who's gone public with their displeasure for me is Tom Curran.
It's not about what people say when you're in the room. It's about what they say about you when you're not in the room.
Well, then they're frauds.
Well,
then I don't want those people anywhere near me. They can't be trusted.
That's why you.
The one thing I appreciate of Tom Curran is he just says, I don't like you.
That's why you live on a compound surrounded by 50 acres of land.
And I do want to let people know, in terms of people in my personal life hating me, maybe. Christmas cards have been coming in fast and furious. We're back to the normal rate.
Is that
right? It's not that everybody cut me off. It's just for some reason people were late.
Subscribe to some service that sends you cards?
No, that's stupid. But for some reason, people were sending late Christmas cards this year. Definitely later than normal. I don't know if is it a calendar thing? Was Thanksgiving late or something?
I don't know. Christmas is still over a week away.
No, but I in my head, based on my
Christmas
normal schedule.
Like 8 days away?
Yeah. 8 days away. But people sent them later than, well, you usually get them weeks before Christmas.
I don't get any if it makes you feel better.
See, no one likes him.
Not even from you.
I don't send them. Well, my wife sends them, and I'm embarrassed by it. She put us in the Christmas card. That's embarrassing.
Isn't it just, it's supposed to be your kids, right?
Should be the kids and
the
dog.
Or the dog. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it should be. She put us in. It's embarrassing. The second she opened the box, I ripped her for it.
Now, do you have to pay extra for, like, when you buy Christmas cards because your head takes up so much of
that? Good, Kevin. No wonder you get no Christmas cards.
Right. They
You won't ever get Christmas cards, by the way. And you know why? And this is not a shot at you. They're going to go away.
Yeah,
and by the time you have a house and, like, kids, they'll be gone.
Yeah, my generation
and they should.
Really doesn't do it.
Like, I think they're great on one level. I think they're great in terms of, like, social community. But it's such a waste.
It really is.
Because everybody looks at it and throws it away.
It really is.
Some people.
And I'm not going to put up, you know, pictures of other families' kids on my wall.
That's kind
of
creepy.
Well, I put them up for this 2 weeks. We have, like, this tree that you, like, strap them to or whatever. And then I'm like, well, what the fuck?
But like, in my parents' generation, they'll even get some. It's like a Christmas card, but it's almost like a
letter.
Updates.
We got one yesterday.
Those are insufferable.
Yeah, we got one yesterday.
It's like, I don't really care. Like, if I cared, I would call you.
We started the year out by Johnny,
exactly.
you know, being toilet trained.
Exactly.
Who gives up?
Well, yeah. and you know what's even worse?
Yeah.
I should probably be careful here. You never know who's listening these days, but it's my wife's godmother, and it's all about, like, well, in January we went to, you know, so-and-so beach, and then in February. All right, I get it. You're retired. You have money and get to travel the world. Stop rubbing it in.
Exactly. That's the part that rubs in. Oh. You get those, and it's the people that want to brag about like how great their family
is. Facebook is for.
And it's like, I'm sure you don't have any family issues, right? You have the perfect family ever created.
These year-end letters to the world.
Are those? Oh. Did those used to be more common?
I think so.
Yeah, they did.
Because we only get. She's the only. I mean, she's. Because
my folks are right around 60, and they still. You'll still get them.
And none of these letters are like, you know, Bob is still in rehab.
Right.
All like, you know,
Ginny is knocked up with her second child.
I have a black eye right now because he hit me last night.
Right.
And we know all that stuff happens to almost every family on some level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Every family has issues. And you can't, the people that just choose to write a 10-page op-ed piece to you are just delusional.
Right.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah. All right.
That was a random tangent.
It kind of was.
Merry Christmas, Ferreira.
Very seasonal.
Oh, by the way. Yeah. I'm starting to get worried because we are, what, a week away. Is Dan going to do his usual Christmas Eve poem?
Oh, I don't know.
I hope he doesn't feel slighted by Mr. Liff doing a song.
I think there's room for both.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah.
And I'll kick Mr. Liff to the curb if I need to because Dan's been with us forever.
Yeah.
I am loyal. Dan, I'm hoping he's been taking notes all year long. And Dan, we are waiting. Are we doing
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
Oh, are we doing a show on New Year, Christmas Eve? How are we doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on that day, I'm hoping we're going to have Dan Heffron, you know, and his son, his hung son, and their poetry.
John in New Brunswick says, love the show. The four of you are great, but how do you, Fred, keep yourself from choking Andy sometime? It's very difficult, I'll tell you.
And he has hit me before. I'm just going to be out and honest with it. He's hit me.
Austin in Toronto, why on earth would we want to give life to the hapless Jets? They are our most hated rival, and I think we need to kick them in the head while they're down. Is Andy really a Patriot fan, or is he a closet, let's hope for a good game and no one gets hurt fan? Come on, dude.
That's just stupid.
Oh, and by the way.
That was a stupid thing to say.
Oh, and by the way, I was right on Browner. Andy thought we should cut him in training camp.
Never said that.
And Gray is better than Blunt. We definitely, he definitely has more potential than him.
These are your idiots.
We might find out if he gets someone freaking. If he gets some freaking carries.
So the year five jump he's going to make to be a 1,000-yard back? Because LeGarrette Blount was a 1,000-yard back early in his career like you're supposed to be. Now in his third season, Jonas Gray is suddenly going to become great. Maybe his fourth season. The year four jump he'll have to 1,000-yard rush.
Pat Nagle.
Wait a minute. Time out. I'm going to respond.
You just say the same thing over.
No.
It's just nonsense.
Listen, it's not that I'm.
He's going to take a year four jump. And
Well, it's true. Just,
you know, you're it's playing true. Paul Snark.
No, it's true, and I invented snark. Paul stole it from me. Yeah. But the bottom line is, I'm not rooting for the Jets to get good. My point is, I feel more emotional investment when the rival is good, right? Like, there is more to, when the Red Sox and Yankees play 19 times a year or whatever they do in baseball, it's more fun when those games matter and they're vying for the top spot in the AL East than when they're both kind of indifferent and it's not as fun. It's just not as emotionally charged.
And I don't care about how good the Jets are. I just care about how good the Patriots are.
But isn't it also sports entertainment? Like, don't you want the rush? I guess my point would be for me is some people get the extra rush by gambling.
Yeah.
I get the extra rush when the other team is good and competitive, and there's a chance the Patriots could lose. There's no chance the Patriots will lose this week.
Look, there's no.
I don't find that utterly entertaining.
There's no doubt that beating a good team gives you more of a rush in sports. But you know, when it comes to the Jets, I don't really care. You know,
but you don't get more of a rush when you beat the good Jets than when you beat the bad Jets.
I get a different but equal rush. Making fun of them when they're down.
But if they had both been, like, they played in week 7. Say they had both been 6-0, and the game played the same exact way, and it came down to a blocked field goal to win, and you know, wow, I just got a leg up on the AFC East.
Yep.
That wouldn't have been more an emotional charge than it was.
You're right. For that night, it would be. But I'll gladly trade that rush for that night for just having the Jets stink all the time. Gladly trade that. You know, quick rush.
But then it loses something. Then they're not your rival.
No, but
there's no rivalry.
I don't care. You know,
fine.
You think Yankees fans cared for a long time that the Red Sox could never beat them? And they were hoping that Red Sox were better. This would be, because the only people who thought it was a rivalry were Red Sox fans.
Oh, yeah. It was a rivalry between a hammer and a nail.
The Yankees fans could care less.
They were
getting their rush out of, you know, being the best team in the AL and winning the World Series. They don't care about the Red Sox. I don't care about the Jets.
But you do. you spend your entire life caring about the Jets.
Right.
It's kind of sad.
No, well,
you go there after games to see what they're saying.
I do.
You care immensely
about
the Jets.
Because I get pleasure out of their suffering.
So they're not a rival then.
They're
your bully.
Maybe.
They're the team you
choose
to bully.
Yeah, I don't know what you want to call them, but yeah. Maybe.
Okay, is there a rival?
Is there a rivalry now?
Like, no. Is there, you know, I would say the same thing. Do you want Peyton Manning to be good, and do you want Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning's team versus New England? Or do you not like that easy? Do you just want the easiest road possible to wherever?
Yeah, I want to be dominant. I don't want any team to be as good as we are, and I don't care if they are, you know.
So this gets back to the core of my thing where I like having measuring stick teams in the league.
Yeah.
I don't like parity because I like to know there's
five good
teams.
I want every team to measure against us.
But if they all suck, then it's no fun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Yeah. I want to be the best.
What I'm talking about is not, it's it can't happen, but that's why I want it. I want to be like so dominant that no one's even close. That will never happen, but it's
right.
Like utopia.
Well,
that you
were
look
close.
For.
I mean, yeah. A big chunk of 2007,
sure.
You were so dominant that.
And nothing was better during that time.
Because of its uniqueness, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That was new, right? They hadn't lived that before. They had been really good, but they hadn't been blow. And even Brady changed his tune. We're trying to kill everybody every week instead of just score more points than the other team. All that. That was unique. I think something would be lost after, right?
That's just the way I feel. I can't.
I know. I'm not criticizing you. Yeah. I'm just questioning.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
how you get to that point.
Right. Pavon in Secaucus, New Jersey says, Fred, I agree with you to kick the Jets in the butt every time they play. Andy, if you keep beating the Jets every time, the team tends to disintegrate just like how the Jets are disintegrating. The Jets can't be good, and we defeat them every time. If they are good, Patriots will lose sometimes. Maybe Andy could take that, but Fred and fans like me can't take that. Andy, we have a legitimate good rivalry with Peyton Manning's teams, and that is enough.
And that's why I just sort of brought that up.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the Dolphins had beaten you two straight games, but I didn't. That's not the same. That's not the same rivalry.
No, it isn't.
Miami.
It isn't.
It used to be. I think in the 80s there that they were sort of the rival, but now it's the Jets.
Right.
And if they had won two in a row, that would have felt different. That would have been different than Miami winning two in a row.
Yeah.
And I like the rivalries. I like Mike Tyson as the heavyweight champ and everybody trying to knock him off.
Yeah. Let's see. Chanel from New York. Fred, I agree with you. I hate the Jets, and it gives me pure joy every time I see them fail. Laugh out loud. That being said, I'll be at the game on Sunday to see the Patriots destroy them once again. With that being said, keep up the good work. Screw the Jets.
Screw the Jets, I can appreciate. Screw the Yankees, I can appreciate.
Right.
But I want to screw them. And you know what makes it better? The Jets know they're going to lose. Their fans are downtrodden. They have three wins. They suck.
And I like that.
You know what's better? When they think they're going to win and they lose.
No, I like it.
I like jerking it out from underneath them.
I don't want to listen to Fireman Ed and all that.
Well, he's dead and gone.
I know. Tony says, I'm with Fred. I hate the Jets more than the Yankees, a lot more, and I'm glad they stink. I enjoy destroying them and want them and the Colts and Denver and Pittsburgh to be absolutely awful forever.
Yeah.
But see,
great, so
and
we beat
and
up
I
on the Jags.
But what Tony and I are saying isn't achievable, but you want that. And that's, you know, so that then, like you said, you want that so much that when Pittsburgh is good and you beat them, then you get your rush that
right.
You're talking about.
But that's what I want.
But you still want them to stink and you want to dominate them. Ugh.
Yeah, but if they stink, now I'm dominating the Titans and the Jags who they stink. So where's the fun? Part of competition is the competition.
John in Winterport, Maine says, Andy, you're the best part of the show.
Thank you.
But I've got to agree with Fred hands down. When it comes to the Patriots, I definitely do not like close competitive games. My heart can't take it, and I too am probably overinvested, but nothing gives me more pleasure than to see the Patriots crush the Jets. I love a good close and competitive football game, just not when it comes to the Patriots. That said, I usually agree with you, Andy, and not on this, so I guess I'm a bully too.
See, and it's clearly a different wiring. I am wired differently. I clearly have that wiring of that fine line between pain and pleasure.
Yeah.
Because a blowout game, I'll be honest.
So you're a masochist. You want to be tortured.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I'll be honest with you. If I didn't work here and the Patriots were up 42-10, I'm probably clicking away, seeing what other game is on. I've lost interest because it's a blowout. Right. There's no competitive balance there. There's nothing holding me in.
If it's any other team, I do, but not the Patriots. I'll watch to right the end because I'm enjoying every second of it.
Yeah, I definitely would ride that. And, you know, the example would be when you get really bad poison ivy and you turn the hot water up so bad and it hurts, but it feels good.
Oh.
That's what, to me, facing the Jets, I want it to be. I want it to hurt and then be really good at the same time.
No interest in that. Drew and Bowie, while I root against the Yankees and Peyton Manning fiercely on a game-by-game basis, I want them at the same time to be elite. So when we beat them, it's like defeating Darth Vader and blowing up the Death Star.
There's my guy. All Who's right? that? That's my guy.
Drew and Bowie.
Well said, Drew.
I don't hate the Jets as much lately because they suck.
Exactly.
Beating them is like beating any other team.
It's hard to hate them because they suck. They're irrelevant.
Well, I think what helped while they suck was Rex Ryan because he makes those statements, so it's nice to just throw it in his
face. So now what are you going to do?
It's a good question. Maybe it'll change over the next few years if they have like a Mike Trestman type coach who's really quiet and they still suck.
See, what I want, and I know people are going to yell at me, but I want like Harbaugh to go there so we can kick his ass too.
Now, yeah. Yeah. Tador writes in, we are going to the Jets game. Go Patriots. I hope Patriots fans invade the place. Jets fans want the team to lose, so they fire everyone and draft a quarterback. Okay. David.
Yeah, I heard somebody call EEI this morning, a Jets fan, that said it's going to be a weird environment this weekend because everybody in MetLife, either the Patriots fans that are taking advantage and going, or the Jets fans are rooting against the Jets.
Right.
Because they want it to be blown up. They want the highest draft pick and
all
that.
Well, didn't they screw that up last week by winning the Jets?
Oh, yeah. They've hurt themselves by winning.
Because there's so many teams now, you know, even with three wins, there's a lot of two-win teams.
And you're guaranteed that either Tennessee or Jacksonville is going to lose this week because they're playing each other. So one of those two teams is going to go into the final week with two wins.
Yep.
Yeah. You shouldn't be winning if you're the Jets. Of course, if I'm a Jets fan, I need to know who's making the pick.
Right.
Because if we have the number one pick and Idzik's making it, he'll F it up.
Right. All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline where people are holding on. Marcel from Sweden's on the line. Hey, Marcel, thanks for holding on.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a couple things. First off, I can't agree more with Andy. It's not fun watching the Jets while they're stuck because it takes a lot of fun out the game. Like Andy says, I don't want to watch a blowout 42-17.
Against the Jets? I would love watching
You
them.
Want to be emotionally invested.
Oh, God.
Right? Marcel, like, we've had our differences, but well said, my friend.
Oh, he's just sucking up to you. Anyway, go ahead, Marcel.
Anyway, then I got some caller-on-caller crime. Why do you guys have to have Nick Baby Love on for 50 minutes every show? I mean, the guy's been through a lot of things, but he just keeps on saying the same thing.
I don't know. Paul's got a thing with him. They
no,
like each other.
No, because we take everyone. Just so you know, Marcel.
That's true.
We've had calls and complaints about your calls. We've had calls and complaints about almost every caller that's ever been on. Big Al, everybody.
Yep.
But we give everybody their opportunity. You're a member of the Patriot Nation, and
that's
we
true.
Accept you.
But we also accept the complaints. We like that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody has the right to complain, but everybody also has the right to be heard on this show.
That's right.
And the last thing is, did you guys see Dominic Easton get put on IR?
Oh, did he? No. When did that happen?
Yeah, about 10 minutes ago.
Thanks for chiming in, Kevin.
What the hell are you doing in there?
I just saw it. I want to confirm it.
His roster spot got replaced by Steve Mineri. Woohoo!
Woohoo! You're right.
Well, that may not last, but okay.
Oh, and Casey Walker, we should update, went to the Ravens off the practice squad. Woohoo!
Yeah, and they signed the quarterback, Gilbert something, from the Rams. He was with the Rams or something.
And we put him on the practice squad?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Jeff Howe reported.
Yeah. All right, well, easily going to IR is big news. Too bad. Real big disappointment.
So big that Kevin chose not to tell us.
Right. But thanks for the update, Marcel. We have to get our updates from Sweden now.
Yeah, we had to go across to Sweden to come back with our update.
Thank you. Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, Fred? How you doing, Andy? What's up?
What's up?
Yo, real quick, just to counter that point from Marcel, I'm with Fred 100%. You know, you want to see the Jets suck every year, and this is a passion thing. This is a Boston versus New York thing. This is my buddy Eddie in New Jersey calling me every other week, rubbing it in about the Jets doing this or that, or the Yankees doing this or that. Listen, this is a war every single time, and I say F the Jets. If you're not all in on the Jets being as horrible as possible, then, you know, Andy, I'll remove you from this statement, but, you know, you're not a passionate fan if you don't want to see the Jets eat it every single week. So With that said, I got to say, just hearing the Patriots this week, I like this humble approach for the team going into this game, just looking for marked improvement. I mean, this, to me, this is a trap game like I've never, ever seen. I mean, we just got a hat and T-shirt, you know, that the team is bright and pretty solid role here going into this final stretch. But, you know, Buffalo equally concerns me. But, you know, that being said, this is a game that I want to see a fast start. It's time for this first and third quarter production to start clicking in full steam. I need to see a lead, and I need to see some run in the football. You know, this argument with Blunt and Gray, to me, is just not an accurate argument. I don't think we've seen enough of a sample from Blunt in his element. When the weather gets nasty, this guy's got to get on a roll. I want to see a little more of Jonas Gray, but let's face it, this is LeGarrette Blunt's backfield, and this guy's going to show his best foot forward coming up in these next few weeks. If we can step on their throat by halftime, I'm satisfied. If this is a close game through three quarters, I'm a little concerned because I feel like, you know, this Jets team does have some sort of a Super Bowl on their hands. You know, I want to see the Jets go and pack in. Got to give a shout-out to my boys and sisters at PFW Elite. And the last thing, look out for Revis. This guy's going to be looking to make a statement this week. I want my pick six. That's all I got.
Over all right. Now. Thanks, Chester. I mean, I think Chester shares a lot of the sentiments. You know, look, 30 years from now, when I look back, and if the Jets never are good again, I might say, yeah, you know, it would have been nicer if the Jets were better during that time. But right when you're in the heat of the battle, like we are right now, Jets can't suck enough. You know, I admit, nothing makes my Sundays more than after the Patriots winning, looking to see if the Jets won and if they lose. That's what makes my Sunday.
Just a real quick out of the locker room. It is indeed Steve Mannieri, tight end who was in camp with the Patriots, is here, and quarterback Garrett Gilbert, formerly of the Rams practice squad, I believe.
Okay.
So Mannieri to the 53-man roster, I would say, and Gilbert to the practice squad to take the Casey Walker spot. He moves on to the Ravens.
Interesting. Do you think that there's an injury we don't know about at the tight end spot?
I don't know if it's an injury or, remember, he's the tackle/tight end.
That's
he was
true.
Here tackle.
Oh, so he's a Cam Fleming replacement, maybe?
In that role, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, last week we had Cannon going in and then Solder moving to tight end and back. Maybe they think he could just be the guy.
Yeah.
You also, Zach Moore was inactive last week, so you have some depth on the defensive line as a healthy scratch. So maybe they felt that end-of-line offensive blocker was a need.
Okay. Jamie's in India. Indy. Hey, Jamie.
What's up, Fred, Andy? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just a quick comment on the Christmas cards. I have a 10-week-old. And for the first time in my life, you know, I have to have that conversation with my wife about Christmas cards.
So are you sending them?
I'm trying to dissuade her, but, you know, happy wife, happy life.
That's right. So plug it down.
just a quick question, like a comment about Gronk. Like, have you guys noticed that when he catches the ball now, that as soon as he's about to get hit, he kind of jumps so his feet aren't planted on the ground? I don't know if that's just like, you know, like a just retroactively from his injury last year. And I just wanted to hear you guys comment on that.
Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah.
It hasn't jumped off the field to me. I think, if anything, what I've noticed is him just being aggressive, kind of like when Paul called him a jerk in the Colts game for punching at people. I think he's decided, I'm bigger. I'm going to take it to them. I'm not going to let them take shots at me. I'm going to take shots at them. If he's attempting to be a little lighter on his feet or a little more airborne, it wouldn't surprise me. That is why he got hurt, because he was planted.
Right.
You know, he has taken similar hits to the knee where you're not as planted. He got hurt because it's planted, and that's the difference there. So it's certainly a possibility. I'm going to watch it this week.
Fred's in Vermont. Hey, Fred.
Hello.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Great.
All right. Well, Fred, I'm going to, first off, fellas, it's not because Fred carries my name and he's my namesake down in Mass, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have to agree with Fred here. Andy, I don't know. I love the show and I love you guys on it, and I know you play the devil's advocate, but I can't help but feel like as though sometimes your heart just isn't where I need it to be for my
which subject are we talking about here? The Jets one?
Well, let's start off with the Jets. So with regard to the Jets, beating the Jets is always fun, okay? And in terms of, do we need a close game or do we need a blowout to make me happy? At the end of the day, I just need to win. I just need to win. And if we win a close game, it's fun at the end of it. But if we lose a close game, is no joy to be had.
See,
and so,
but you had a close game this year that I wouldn't really include because the Jets suck. You had a close game against a bad football team. I'm saying I want to know you're facing a good team and that there's a challenge involved. You had a bad win against a crappy team.
No, Andy, you explained yourself real well. No, I get that. You want the to know that there's the potential that they might be able to beat us. And I like what one of the callers said. Somebody said, Peyton Manning is enough. We've got Andrew Luck coming up any moment now, just looking for that inroad. We don't need to be fighting with everyone in our division.
Oh, don't worry about that. Your division blows, as Paul says. Yeah. Never been good.
And Dolphins beat us in that first game, and none of us like that. You know. And
well, you're not going to like any loss.
Well, that is absolutely true.
Right? Whether you lose to a good team, a bad team. You know, Fred was talking about good loss to Green Bay or whatever.
I never said that.
You're not going to enjoy any loss.
That was your straw man that said that.
Yeah, no, that was a terrible loss as well. Losing to Green Bay was also losses are terrible. All right. What I'm going to say though is when we lose a game, it ruins the rest of the week. I don't listen to you guys for the rest of the week because all you talk about is like how bad we were or what we need to fix. And I'd rather wait until we win the next one and we don't lose two in a row. I'm probably overinvested in the past as well. I'll admit that. And like Fred, I really only care about the past. And so, you know, what other teams are doing and so on. Good for them, but we need to win. One of my complaints about Andy from this past season, maybe this past, I guess, listening in the preseason, I think you guys bought way too deeply into the whole Brady decline argument.
Me?
Andy, you made a comment about Gronk being, you know, the team goes nowhere without Gronk. Love Gronk. The man is a freak of nature, a beast. We need him. He absolutely makes our chances better. But the real key things that make our team click are Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
That's true. That still holds true.
Yeah, and that's
obvious. And it really wasn't Andy. It was more Paul and Eric.
Well, but my argument is still, you've lost to end the season every year since Gronk has been hurt.
That's true.
And I think there's a factor in there. Yeah. And you've also seen the last 2 years, when Gronk is good, the offense is good. When Gronk isn't, the offense can struggle.
But the question there is, okay, if you had gone into that Giants game or any of those playoff games, Denver last year, and Brady was out and Gronk was in.
No, but we know
you could have said the same thing.
Right, and we know that, and everybody knows that. But, you know, people are going to think this is absolutely asinine and ridiculous, but and because I've said
because
a lot of dumb things. Right. I think you lose if you lose either one of them. Like, they're right on the same pedestal.
Yeah.
And that's where, and I don't think people think Gronk should be on that pedestal. And I'm sorry, I put him on that pedestal.
Isaac from Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Isaac. A lot of emails coming in.
Hey, Andy, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, I was calling in. I wasn't waiting for you guys' conversation, but I got to disagree with Andy on both. What's wrong with
you? You guys are all bullies, and you're bullying me today.
No, I just want to
about time.
Without Gronk, the team can go nowhere, but. Who's to say that with Gronk on Super Bowl, you would have won those Super Bowl against the Giants?
Me.
I think he would have made a huge difference in the Super Bowl, but I don't think he would have guaranteed the Super Bowl win.
As close as they were, or that one was, I think Gronk makes a difference?
I
puts
think
him over
win.
The
he
edge?
He would have made a difference, but you got no Super Bowl. You know, it was the defense who gave it a last-second drive.
I understand that, but maybe you don't have to worry about a last-second drive if Gronk is in the game.
Gronk plays, you win. Gronk healthy, you win.
I think so. And, you know, I'm sure Giants fans will laugh at us for saying that, but I believe that.
Well, I think it's like we don't ever know, but maybe this year we'll have them this year in the Super Bowl. And another thing I'm going to disagree with Andy on is about the other teams being competitive. I'd rather just blow everybody out. I'd rather every team be sorry, and the Patriots are just the best team in the league, and we just stuck up on Super Bowls. Like,
got that right.
I'm excited about yeah.
The league may not like it, and the networks may not like it, but Patriots fans will like it. That's
not all Patriots fans.
Well, not all Patriots.
You're not a Patriots fan. Yes, I am. I'm a fan of competition, too. Like, another example just popped into my head, and this is an opportunity, Fred, where you say thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call.
Another, you know, if you have your son, or I have my son, and he scores 3 goals against a team that gives up 35 goals every week, I'm really happy you scored 3 goals. But if he scores 3 goals against a team that hasn't given up any goals, you're like, wow, I can't. He's awesome. There's an added level of. We know the Patriots are going to win a lot of games.
Sure.
I'd rather they win some of those games over their rival, who's good and competitive in the extra.
But if my son is so good that he does that every week, hey, I'm even happier because my son dominates.
Yeah, I guess I don't see it that way. I like having competition. You know, I don't want to see Usain Bolt run away 15. I want to see somebody challenge him, and then he pulls away from the challenger. I just
like, –
Runaways don't interest me.
I
like the summer of 98, would you have been as invested if it were just McGuire or just Sosa? Part of it was the competition between the two to break the record. Competition means something. We want competition.
But that, to me, that's watching from afar, and I don't have the emotional investment that I do here.
See, I guess what we're missing is that, and again, I still use the word because I don't, the orgasmic part, like the very peak of that emotion isn't the same when the Jets aren't competitive and aren't good. You can't, you admitted it to me. If that game had been the 6-0 Jets versus the 6-0 Patriots and you blocked a field goal to win the game.
Right, for that moment.
That moment in time would have been more orgasmic.
I would have that Jack, but I'm telling you, I'd much rather have gone into 2007 and beaten the Jets 50-0. I mean, the Giants 50-0 in the Super Bowl.
So if you could go 16-0 in a season.
Yeah.
And two of those wins are obviously against the Jets.
Yeah.
And the Jets were 0-16 or 16-0. And the Jets went 14-2.
Makes no difference to me.
Oh, I think that would be phenomenal. You're still my bitch. You can beat everybody else, but Rex Ryan, you are still my bitch. You can't beat me.
Listen, that's a talking point, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm having just as much fun.
Oh, see, to me, that's extra fun. That's the cherry on top. That's the little layer of frosting, whatever you want to call it.
Balarco's in Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco.
Hey guys, first of all, F the Jets and F New York.
Right.
I hope this thing forever. That I hate New York. I hate New Yorkers. They always belittle people who are from other places, how they're the best at everything. And that city has made like a living out of misery. And I hope this thing forever and ever till the end of time. I don't care about them, man. I just don't care. And as far as rivalries are concerned, we already have other rivalries. What about the Broncos, the Colts, the Ravens, the Steelers? It's not like, and if you look at history, like there are so many rivalries that are not divisional, like the Steelers and the Raiders and the 49ers versus the Cowboys. Like, it doesn't have to be divisional.
That's correct.
We always have great games because we have other rivalries. And if you want to win the Super Bowl, you will have to beat a few good teams. It's not like you are beating 16 like scrubs in a row. That's not how it works anyway. So yeah. I'm okay with the Jets thinking forever and ever till the end of time. I don't care about them. I don't care about the Empire State Building. I don't care about Jay-Z. FMO.
Oh, F Jay-Z. I agree with that. Screw Jay-Z.
Yeah. FMO. That city has such attitude. Like, I've been to New York City, and like, I'm so glad
tell.
I'm in Los Angeles right now. It's just like, I love living in Boston. I just hated New York. And it has nothing to do with rivalry, like sports rivalry, because I was not born there. I just visited New York a few times. I lived there for a few months, did some internships. Just don't like that city, man.
Yeah.
Just don't like that high, almighty attitude. Oh, we are New Yorkers, blah, blah, blah. We survive everything.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear it, Balarco. Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right.
He hates a building. He hates the Empire State.
It's a symbol.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
When your hate runs so deep that you hate a building.
Oh, absolutely.
Fred, you had nothing.
Paul's back. How was Guskowski?
He's great. He was great. Yeah. He's very very willing to participate in my nonsense.
Good.
Like, in the, you know, I just asked him in the middle, you know, we know that you put your hand up like this, you know. You don't know where the goalposts are?
Good call.
And he just started laughing. And he said that he doesn't know why he does it. He had seen someone do it in college, so he started doing it. He had a good game. He just kept doing it.
Good, Paul. That's good.
That is good. That's really good.
And that'll be on the PFW TV show.
Highly
up.
Rated.
Yeah.
Thursday, 7:30.
But that's like what Andy says. Andy and I were talking about it before. There aren't a lot of guys that you can pretty much do anything you want with, and they're going to take it the right way because they know us. And Steven knows us really well. He jokes around with us all the time. They did
which
make
is
fun
why
of
they
about,
want. That's why they want to keep them the hell away from us.
Right. And you know, when you guys were, you know, Andy was talking about, you know, you guys have shared a hot tub together. They were make they because Danny Ryan and Steven, they were all there. I'm sorry. Ryan Allen, Danny Aiken, because I hate the first name thing, and I just broke one of my own
thanks,
rules.
Thanks, Bert.
I just broke one of my own rules. They were, like, teasing me about that, and because Ryan Allen was doing an interview without a shirt on. It was just, like, a print interview, and he had no shirt on. And Gostowski comes over. He goes, look at this. Danny, look, will you look at this nonsense? He goes, shirtless. And I go, why? You don't want to oil up for the, for our interview? And then Danny goes, well, you got to oil up. I go, you guys have seen that before.
looks like a bowl of oatmeal. Anyway. Paul, we've had a very spirited show here.
Well, I did tell Moose, our camera guy, I said, I got to get back to the show because it's just Fred and Andy. And I think there could be chairs flying when I get there.
No, it's actually been really good because, you know, it, we have, I think, a genuine disagreement about whether or not we want the Jets to be good or not. And Andy thinks it makes for more enjoyable Patriot, you know, being a Patriots fan makes it more enjoyable if they're good. I'm saying I could care less.
I hate the Jets.
I have just as much pleasure in probably more seeing them suffer.
It doesn't. The Jets are kind of a different animal with me because of the New York thing. I always hated Miami more than the Jets because Miami was always better than the Jets when I was growing up. The Bills were always irrelevant, and the Colts were always irrelevant when they were the division.
You hated them because they were better. There was competition.
New York. I hated Miami because they were better.
No, that's what I know. That's what I mean. And I posed an example to Fred where I said, Patriots go 16-0 in a season. They have an undefeated season. And in one of the seasons, you go 16-0, and the Jets go 14-2. So their two were you. Or you go 16-0, and the Jets go 0-16. Like, you're my bitch. You're better than everybody in the league, but you'll never be better than me, and you remember that.
Like, so that's a good spirited argument. I can see.
And I told him it's clearly my thing. Like, fine line between pain and pleasure. Like, you know, it's so stressful. I've termed it orgasmic because when you beat the team that's competitive, there's extra emotion there. If it's 42-10, or like even this year, you were in a close game. But I said to Fred, if they both teams have been 6-0. And you had won that game to go 7-0.
Wouldn't it have been even better?
That would have been a blocked kick, like an orgasmic feeling. Yeah. And instead, you had a bad win over a bad team.
In that moment, he's right. But overall, I'd just rather be so dominant against every other team and just be the measuring stick for all everyone else. That's
King
what
of
I
the
want.
Dick poo. Dip poos.
Now, it can't happen, but that's what I want. That's what I strive for as a fan of the Patriots.
Yeah, I get it. I get both sides. It's good, good discussion.
And not surprisingly, everybody agrees with Fred except for one guy.
Well, I do like
being bullies.
See, a lot of people in the media get made fun of for espousing the view that, you know, having the Jets be relevant.
Oh, that's how we started it more fun. Our column this week from
Bruce Allen.
Bruce Allen.
A lot of people share that kind of sentiment. You know, who cares? Which I always laugh at because I'm not allowed to say the teams in the division aren't good. But I'm also not allowed to say that. I'm also not allowed to acknowledge that they aren't. So, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be able to say.
But even for fans, you don't think fans would be more jacked up this week if the Jets were good? Like, there'd be more interest from fans. You'd be jacked up. This would be a huge game. Instead, it's a nothing game.
Yeah, in terms of this game, you're right. Obviously, if we were fighting for the AFC East.
So you would care more.
And you know what I don't like? Playing games that, you know, have the possibility, however slight, of being just an abject embarrassment to me. If I lose this game, think about how humiliating
that
would be.
That's true.
Whereas if I lost to the 10-4 Jets, well, you know, it's the
I think there's different reasons why you feel bad. But
10-4 Jets.
You know, I'm interested in this game for a different reason than fighting for the AFC East. I'm interested in because it's the Jets, because I want to just, you know, embarrass them.
So you should lose.
What's that?
You actually helped the Jets by beating them. So you should lose.
No. Well,
that's
we're not going to go there.
That's being a jackass.
Yeah. You know, so it's for different reasons.
Even
that
for
I'm
your exaggeration purposes, that was bad.
I know.
No
Austin
yet,
says,
way.
Every freaking team in the NFL plays their Super Bowl against us. Why on earth do we need more tough games? He's not a real fan, Andy, is period.
Well, no, you had a tough game against the Jets. Whether they suck or not, you could barely beat them. They had a season
and
high
I didn't
points.
Like that.
They didn't
that
turn
was a
it
terrible
over.
Win.
Right. So it was you had their best game. You had a tough game. You didn't have a cakewalk, but you beat a punchless team. You beat an embarrassment team. There was no joy in victory.
Right. Did we not get measuring sticks with Green Bay, San Diego, Denver, Indy, Cincy? Fred, sometimes I
no,
really
actually,
think.
Actually, Cincinnati didn't show up.
I really
so
think
no
you need to wash
there.
Andy's mouth out with soap.
And it wasn't about measuring sticks. It was about emotion and rivalry and passion.
Andy
something
and Fred,
you would know nothing about.
This is Stephen Killeen from Texas, and be careful what you say about him because
barbecue blowout.
He can say whatever he wants.
Here is where I stand on your argument of beating a team that can actually compete. I want the belief that our competition is good, and for the Patriots to utterly dismantle them to point where they are left to the point where they're left praying that all the Patriots take is their lunch money and gold chains, but are left instead with smoldering rubble in the wake of a crushing Patriots defeat. Thanks for the outstanding job and all the best to you and yours this holiday season. So
thanks, Steve.
Kinda,
well put.
Steve kind of splits the middle. He wants the team to be good that we're playing, but he wants to absolutely dominate them.
Oh, and me too.
I want to dominate.
But you say you get that rush out of the close game.
No. If I dominate a team that I think is really good, I get that rush.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Again, that's an emotion.
They can be good against everybody else, though.
Well, that was my 16-0 versus 14-2 record.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too. I think that we have sometimes a hard time heading into games. Like, every time we're going into a game, we rip the crap out of the opponent, whoever it is. You know, if they have a good record, that's because they didn't play anybody.
Right.
If they have a bad record, it's because they suck. And then after we win the game, which, let's face it, 85% of the time we do, then that team becomes much better than they were. Oh, they're good. Right. I mean, that was a good win. You can't have it both ways. And I kind of understand that in terms of just from the pure entertainment of watching a game, Fred, I enjoy a close game. But if I'm just, forget pure entertainment, I'm just Johnny fanboy and I want to watch my team play, I can't win by enough points.
I want to
win in a blowout. But if I'm just watching the game and I would rather beat a good team and I would rather have a close win over a good team than a blowout win over a bad team.
Yeah, I'm not rating them.
Like if I beat Green Bay 26-21, but I would rather have that than beating.
I'm not asking you to rate them. I'm asking you to feel them.
And I feel just as good dominating, you know, the Jets if they're bad.
Yeah, I don't.
JD writes in, Andy, dude, it's like this: making Rex our skinny little bitch is just as fun as playing them when they're good.
Yeah, maybe you should have made him your bitch instead of winning on a field goal.
Oh, when they were good. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you should have made it.
Murray says, I'm 100% behind Fred. I want to destroy our opponents. For me, when we were always beating Peyton Manning, it was much more fun.
Because he was good.
For me than later on when he started to beat us. My favorite Jets game ever is the 45-3 beatdown of them. I never, ever want to lose to these teams.
You enjoyed beating Peyton Manning because he was good. You were knocking off a guy who was elite,
right?
Who was going 13-3 every year?
What I'm saying is, those things are always going
to
happen.
See, the Jets 45-3 game, that would qualify. They were good that year when you beat them 45-3.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they were so good they beat you a month later in the playoffs.
Say, that kind of makes my point. You enjoyed that so much because you remember how jacked up people were on both sides for that game.
Oh yeah,
like that was a huge game, and everybody enjoyed it, right?
Yeah.
That's my point. I think people are making my point for me. They're telling me how much they enjoyed that, that's my point. You got extra emotion out of that because it was a good team and a big game.
Well, I see. I think
you guys just look at it as like numbers on a stat sheet.
Here's the reality of it. Regardless of what Patriots fans want, there will always be good competition.
But you're not going to have the rivalry necessarily.
But what you're striving for, what you're always hoping for, which is not attainable, is to be dominant over them. And because you hope for that, it just makes it more interesting. And even when teams are good, you know what I'm saying? So you strive to be dominant. You know it's never going to happen, but you always wish for that. And you have just as much fun, you know, beating teams when like the Jets when they're bad than when they're good, but for different reasons.
You're right. You strive for dominance, and part of why you strive so much for it is because it's unattainable. If it were attainable, I don't know that
right.
you'd strive
That's
for it.
That's what I was going to say. You know, what we wish for is unrealistic. You're never going to be that dominant over every other team.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about not having you're going to have the competition.
But you are correct.
You know?
That is right.
So
right, but not necessarily the emotional competition.
No, I think it's a different emotion. And I would gladly trade that rush I get beating a good team in a real close game than, you know, being dominant over the Jets, you know, for example. I would gladly be that, you know, have that dominance than that rush in the moment.
But you can have both, you know. That's my point. The Patriots are always going to be good in this era. They're always going to be dominant. They're always going to complete the playoff
spot. Listen, I find pleasure in their suffering, okay?
But I get that.
I know, but they suffer all the time, so now you're just a bully.
Oh, fine. And we establish that. In this case, I'm a bully.
I would enjoy their suffering when I'm making them suffer. Like, they think they're good now, and I kick their ass.
Yeah, there's no...
You're still not
there's
good.
There's no repercussions in this case for being a bully. It's okay to be a bully in this case.
And I like seeing my rivals suffer, too. I get you on that. That's
if only
why
you bullied them.
That's why I see both sides of this argument, because there is an element of me, when it's a team like the Jets, I do. I like to see them suffer. It's fun to not only be good... But to have them be bad.
Like when Northeastern and CW post.
Stop.
You want to. What? Who's the big? James Madison? Is that the big rival for Northeastern?
For basketball?
Yeah.
The league is just so watered down, they don't even have a rival anymore.
Oh, okay. Who did it used to be? BU?
BU back in the day when they were in the same league. But
and could you not like beat
VCU.
Them by more, you know, by enough points?
Yeah, especially being a BU grad.
Right. And you want every year BU to be bad.
I did.
Right.
Okay. I got to go.
Where are you going now?
I got to go to All Access now.
Oh, does he even do this show anymore? Between him and Eric, it's a two-man show.
Unbelievable.
This is it really is it's unacceptable is what it is.
Unacceptable. What about food?
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Let me take a walk.
Yes,
take a walk.
Take a walk. And don't come back until you have food. We can handle the talking. We don't need a break until you come back with food.
What's up?
Now we got
no
people socks just barging into into our show.
Into a live show.
I'll remember that. I'll just barge into All Access sometime.
Someone tell Paul that he's not on mic.
Things are breaking
while he's
down.
Screaming.
All right, let's go back to the A Ticket Hotline. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? My personal preference is I would rather have the good Jets than get the win over the good Jets than the bad Jets.
Thank you, like Justin.
I feel like the bad Jets are like the slutty, ugly girl in the back of the classroom, but the good Jets are like...
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
Getting a hot girl.
That's perfect. This is a great call, Justin. Your best ever. No, he's exactly right. You can score. You're going to score either way. Do you want to score with the whore, or do you want to score with the primo hot chick who is a virgin?
Again, I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Why is it?
Obviously.
No, because the Patriots are – it is fair because the Patriots are going to score no matter what. They're going to win. They're going to be good. They're going to be great. But do you want – that was great, Justin.
Would you rather beat up someone you hate or some – you know,
hate?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just an a-hole.
I hate the Jets, and I want to beat them up. When you hate someone, you don't want to give them any chance of winning.
But if the Jets have glasses on and are sitting in a wheelchair, even if you hate them, are you still going to beat them up?
If you hate them, you hate them.
See, you're a bad person. I want them to think they have a chance. I want them to be able to defend themselves.
No interest.
And then I want to go to beat them up.
No interest. This isn't real life. It doesn't have to be that way.
They have a chance.
This isn't real life.
Justin, thank you for supporting me. You, Marcel, myself, are on, we're on the island of misfit toys. These are my people, Fred.
Take care.
See you, Justin.
All right, thanks, Justin.
That was a good call, though. The
yeah.
That was good.
Didn't make sense, but
it made perfect. See, that's what you do. It made perfect sense, and you're going to claim it did.
John in North Carolina, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, I'm going back. Well, first of all, I need to say I agree with everything Andy says.
Okay. Wow, thank you.
And the other thing is, going back to yesterday, you guys were kind of downgrading the Ravens. And I think the last team we want to face, you know, we got to face Denver probably, that's going to happen. But we don't want to face the Ravens in the first game.
You know what? I'm not afraid of the Ravens. Come on. They do well against other teams. We are better than the teams that they're beating these days.
They do well against us generally in the postseason in battles.
Not this year. I'm talking about this year.
Okay, well. But
see, they draft physical players.
Okay, I know they're rough and tough. And,
they do. They draft physical players.
Black and blue.
Patriots don't always do that. The Patriots sometimes draft people that they can see fitting in the scheme.
Right, we're more finesse, and they're tough. But,
You know, you mentioned Ray Rice yesterday. Now, you know, Ray Rice was averaging like 3.9 yards a carry.
Yep.
Did you know the Ravens running back they have now leads the league, the whole NFL, in yards per carry?
I didn't until you just told me.
His name is Justin Forsett, and he has almost 1,200 yards rushing, and he leads the league in yards per carry.
No, I knew he was having a great year. I did not know he was leading the league in yards per carry. That's
It's like 5.5, 5.6 or something.
That's okay. And, Patriots run defense has been great the last 2 months.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If we stack the box to stop him, I don't want to see Flacco standing back there for 5 minutes throwing bombs to Steve Smith.
Right.
You know, they got Steve Smith now.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to guard him when I watch.
Hasn't he kind of slowed down though second half of season?
Yeah, well, yeah, he has. But
it was unsustainable.
He seems like blowing coverage against them for some reason.
They do, and I don't understand how that happens. There have been a lot of blown coverages against Steve Smith. That will not happen against the Patriots. I'll tell you what's most likely to happen against the Patriots. He and the corner guarding him get ejected because they get into a fist fight in the first quarter. Because him and Browner would certainly go at it, and I think he and Revis would go at it.
And he and Tlaib did go at it when
right.
he was in Carolina.
I mean, he could have a fist fight, and they could both be ejected from a playoff game.
Sure.
Oh, well, here's something else that can happen. I could see this actually happening. Blunt played for the Steelers against the Ravens, and the Ravens threw those dirty, cheap shots at him after he was stopped, remember?
Yes, 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 I do remember that.
So Blunt could come in and have 200-yard rushing.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I know that Baltimore has done well last year, you know, with as the exception, the Patriots blew them out in Baltimore. But, you know, they, as Paul has always said, they come in here and they are not afraid. They're not intimidated one bit by coming to Foxborough. I agree with that, and I think Harbaugh is part of that. And, you know, what's that?
I was just going to say, I like to check in. You know, I like balance, and I'm intrigued by balance of teams, both sides of the ball. Right now, Denver is the only team top 10 offense, defense. I just checked. Baltimore is number 10 on offense, number 13 on defense. So they're tiptoeing into being a top 10
in both. They're pretty well balanced, but I think this year's different. I think, you know, first of all, there's no Nada anymore, and there's no Ray Lewis anymore, and those were guys that, you know.
Nada.
I thought he was out.
He's suspended. He'll be back for the playoffs.
Okay.
It's a four-game suspension. I believe the season finale ends that suspension.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I just don't think they're the same as they were before, and I think the Patriots are that much better, especially on defense. I don't think Joe Flacco is going to sit back there and rain down bombs on Darrelle Revis and Browner. I really don't.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I don't think the Ravens will come here and win, but I would rather face other teams. I'd rather face the Bengals. I'd rather face the Colts. Than I would the Ravens coming here. There are other teams I'd rather face.
What about Pittsburgh?
I think Pittsburgh's secondary absolutely freaking blows.
Yeah.
So I would take Pittsburgh, I think, over Baltimore even.
Yep.
But Pittsburgh and Baltimore both have the same physical, historic, won't wilt in the pressure of the moment kind of vibe to them.
Yeah. Miles in Boston. Hey, Miles.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Great.
Hey, I just want to tell you guys, I started listening for the last 6 months. I'm really starting to love you guys.
It only took 6 months for you to love us?
At first, I was like, oh, man, they talk about this, da, 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 da. But then I started enjoying it. And also, then he reminds me of the guy that, you know, tell him about the cookout and he shows up, and you're like, oh, shit.
See, now, you can't swear, though.
I like it.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like it because he'd be great fun. But I wanted to say, Andy, I agree with you 100% because in New York, if we would have had one, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles would have seen that there was a difference. But there's no way in that Super Bowl that there wouldn't have been a difference in that game. The other caller was saying, no, I don't think he would have made a difference, and so forth.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's just, yeah, you could see. Even, you know, in 2011, he's on one leg. You know, if
right. You could see a major difference in all that.
Yeah.
Now, the team, now what you're getting at on this one, why would I want to sit there? Now, the only time I could sit there and say yes was in 07 when it came down to dominance in the Super Bowl. That's the only time that I could ride high on something like that and be like, oh, yeah, see, this is what it was supposed to be. This is what we did to everybody else. Boom, 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 the end. Now, this year, I'd rather play the team that people think is the best, and we come in and we put a whooping on them or we win.
Yeah.
Because then it shows that where we've gone is the truth and we are who we are. You go in there and dominate. It's like Denver.
Well, we had that in 2001.
No, but you can have it this year. For example, last year when the Seahawks defense went against the Broncos offense, the Seahawks defense dominated.
Yes.
So there were no questions. That was the best defense on the best team for that year.
Yep.
This year, your offense could play the Seahawks. If you put up 45 points on the Seahawks, that doesn't feel different than putting up 45 on the Packers, doing it against that defense
but
that everybody
that's
thinks.
That's kind of my point. Those things that you crave are going to happen no matter how much you wish that you're dominant. They're going to happen.
But don't you want those feelings as often as possible of that braggadociousness?
Listen, if the Seahawks make the Super Bowl, they're a good team.
If the Packers make the Super Bowl, they're a good team.
We're not going to face
it won't feel
the Oakland
same.
Raiders in the
Wait,
Super Bowl.
But if the Packers and the Seahawks both make the Super Bowl and you score 40 points in the Super Bowl, you don't think it's different to do it against Seattle than it is to do it against Green Bay?
No, but what I hope to do against Green Bay is hold their offense to 10 points.
Right.
So you know, I'll get something out of it no matter what.
Yeah. No, but guess what? When you are, don't get me wrong, I would love nothing more to sit there and whoop up on Manning so I can get done with the Denver people. I'm done with those people.
Yep.
But I'd rather play Denver. I mean, I'd rather play Seattle in the Super Bowl because they're sitting at 1-1. They're coming back for a second run. To know that we stopped them and they have great defense makes me feel so good about my team saying, now what's your excuse about our team?
I know.
I always get an excuse about the Patriots.
I hear you, but no, regardless of the team, I'm going to find a reason why whatever, if I win, whatever I did is satisfying.
And by the way, that's another side aspect of this argument.
Thanks, Miles.
Would be, if the Jets were good, you wouldn't have the Paul Perillos of the world telling you, well, you start the year with six wins because your division blows.
That's right.
That's another aspect of that.
I know. But
there's a value of coming out of a good division. Right?
It's true. It's
you know,
true.
Like everybody thinks differently of the West in the NFC. Whoever wins that division, whoever, wow, you can't, that's a tough division. For, you know, I heard it a lot lately. If the Seahawks win the next 2 weeks, they can be the number one seed. Wow. And that means something. You took the number one seed, even playing in that division with those six tough games to start the year.
Yeah.
There's a value in that.
And like I said, there's always going to be things that you can point to that prop you up. But I, you know, in this case, I think I want to beat the Jets. I never want them to be good. I don't care if they're good. It doesn't matter to me. I have just as much pleasure seeing them suffer as I would beating them if they were very competitive.
Yeah, just being a bully.
Okay. McCabe is in Virginia. Hey, McCabe.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
The game earlier in the year was horrible. That should have been a loss for us. Thankfully, our special teams saved us. Hopefully, it doesn't go down that way. And also, if this is most likely Rex Ryan's last stand, and we beat him, what is that going to say for the rest of his coaching career?
Well, I think it won't really matter whether or not we beat him. If you think that Rex Ryan can coach in this league, winning or losing this game isn't going to change your opinion. So if you're another team that is interested in hiring him, you're still going to be interested in hiring him regardless of what happens the rest of the season.
Well, I think he can only win. If he has his team fired up and wins this game or has a good fight, there's a value in they didn't quit on him. You know, he still had his players playing hard.
But don't you think that already, that his team plays for him?
I think for the most part, but it's added. Yeah. Nothing can be subtracted.
It reinforces
it. It reinforces it.
Yeah.
Nothing can be lost, I don't think, for Rex Ryan. If you believe he's a loudmouth buffoon who can't coach a quarterback to save his life, you're going to think that after this game. If you think he's a good coach, and you know what I mean? You're not going to change your feeling as an owner. Yeah,
you said it better than me.
As always.
I was only being nice. I got one more question. Who's the worst team we can face in the playoffs? Like, who's our greatest threat right now?
I still think Denver is the threat.
You know, I do respect Denver, but I just got to say, the way I've seen Peyton Manning play over the last few weeks, there's something wrong.
Well, have you heard the talk? Now there's people reporting that John Elway actually sat down Adam Gase and Peyton Manning, and they had a discussion about, we need to run the football. This is a lot like my career.
No one should know more than him.
And he talked about that. Right. He actually said, you know, and I've heard it phrased, Felger and Maz were talking about this, Burt Breers, that he said, I want to do for you what they did for me at the end of my career with Mike Shanahan and Terrell Davis and put us over the top.
The only thing is, Elway could still run a little bit at the end of his career.
Well, and Manning can still throw. It's not about running. It's about...
No, but he had a little bit more option.
Manning still has his abilities on some level. You said it yourself.
Oh,
wowed at his passes and the accuracy and blah, blah, blah. If they can run the ball, they play defense. They're a pretty good defense. If they can run the ball, and he only has to throw to be part of the offense rather than throw to be the offense, maybe they got something going there. Yeah. But it's interesting if Elway kind of orchestrated this.
Yeah, yeah. All right, McCabe, thanks for the call. Let's go to
a break.
Funkanun, who writes in,
Excuse me?
The Jets have been underestimated this year. Sure, we are most likely going to lose. What? But we barely beat them. I think he meant win. But we barely beat them earlier in the season. I hope this game doesn't go down like the last Jets game. That's what McCabe just said.
Well, except for the result.
Let's see. Austin writes in, great call, Bellarco. Throw the Giants in there as well. F them. And a lot of what I say comes from my PTSD from 2007. I am traumatized. If we never have a close game again, I could care less. John says, I have to agree with the whore metaphor from Justin. When we beat the Broncos and the Colts, it was an awesome win because we scored with the hot babe. Beating the Dolphins and the Jets feel more like scoring with the hairy fat chick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't relate it to sex. Matt in Illinois, I tend to agree. I absolutely hate the Jets. I would love to see them go 0-16 every year. We have the Bills and Dolphins rivalry to give us good game. I hate them too, but I would like to see our division be better. That's supporting Andy's point. Like you all said, it doesn't mean anything when we win this division. I just don't want to see the Jets ever be good again. By the way, love your program. I enjoy listening to it throughout the week. I'm studying for finals and listening to you all at the same time. Maybe not good judgment, but I love my Patriots and hearing about them, and you do a great job. Keep it up. By the way, I actually didn't doubt that the Patriots would get it together at the beginning of the season, although if we would have lost to the Bengals, I would have started to worry. I've just seen the Patriots make adjustments throughout the season many years that it's hard for me to give up early. Matt in Illinois. All right. Food's here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a lot more of your emails and calls. Paul will be back. Eric will be back from practice. We'll get that update and have some fun. I don't know.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
so
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw, you know. And I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean
he
was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in progress as I chew my food. Sorry about that. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Manny in Boston. Hey, Manny.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I guess I just was calling about because I heard Paul say something yesterday about he kind of doesn't like the running game, but he wants to see the Patriots run a little more often. I think kind of a little being disingenuous.
I think in certain spots he wants them to, like, you know, when it's first and goal from the one and they've gotten there from running, he wants to just continue to run. But overall, Paul is not a running guy.
Yeah, that kind of piqued my curiosity yesterday. I don't really remember why I didn't snap at him, but it made no sense to me. He doesn't want to see him run more, but he wants to see him run more in some situation or something.
But yeah, the running game is useless to him.
Right. You're right on calling him out on that. I wish he were here. And I feel like I am kind of a wuss or a fraud in this. I don't remember why I didn't call him out yesterday, but it caught my attention.
No, that's great. Hey, but I just want to let you guys know that I don't ever get to have a chance to listen live, but I always listen to the podcast on the way home when I go leave work, and I listen to you guys either work going home in the afternoon, or then listen to the second half hour and coming to work in the morning, stuff like that. So, yeah, keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Manny. Matt,
I still find it strange. Like, are you a podcast guy?
Me?
Do you listen to any?
No.
See, it's weird that we know nothing of what we are.
No,
I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the four of us listen to a podcast. Like Kenny Keller upstairs, he listens to podcasts. I mean,
right. There
are people, and it's like the medium of which we are part. We have no idea. We don't take part in it.
Yeah, when the podcast first started, you know, like kind of the rage.
Oh boy!
I downloaded or subscribed to a couple fly fishing ones, but I just found that I wasn't, you know, it just wasn't worth my time.
And I'm also a little bit fascinated now. A lot of other places are doing podcasts, not just podcasting their show. They are doing separate podcasts, like Dennis and Callahan now do a podcast where they swear, and it's
oh boy.
And then there are also ESPN Radio has podcasts that they then put on ESPN Radio as like 1 hour shows on ESPN. And it's like this whole weird like, what is a podcast? What is a radio show? What is the difference? You can swear, you can't swear, the FCC.
Right.
It's weird. And so I will admit, some of the, I think I heard like a fantasy one with Matthew Berry and ESPN.
Yeah.
And there was another guy, and it was entertaining because they were less professional than I think they would have been on a radio show.
Right.
And I think that's what works for us.
Yeah.
If it's real radio, you got to be professional in breaks. And we just screw around and say what we think and call each other jerks and a-holes and whatever.
So people are encroaching into our territory.
Very much so.
Do you want them to be competitive or do you want to dominate them?
I want them to be competitive and dominate them.
I want to destroy them.
I want them to have 100,000 downloads and for us to have 200,000. I want them to have 200.
I want us
to have
10 million and them to have none.
And I'm just going to be honest. I'd like to make money. It all gets back to money. We need to monetize our popularity.
Matt in Halifax, Nova Scotia, looking ahead to the Jets coming off a win against the Titans. They have not won back-to-back games since December 29, 2013. Our defense just has to hold the run, something that we didn't do last time. If you look at the Jets game from earlier in the year, Vereen had 11 carries for 43 yards. McDaniels has learned to never do that again. Vereen has since averaged 5 carries a game. I think Vereen is only used a few passes, maybe one rush. We win big. But I think, wasn't that the game where we had just lost Mayo and Ridley? And so we were kind of getting used to life without Ridley and life without Mayo.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
We lost them the week before Buffalo?
Minnesota.
No, Minnesota was week 2.
No, Buffalo, right. Buffalo.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, that first game's interesting a little bit because the Jets don't score, and yet that was their highest scoring game of the season here. You know, Geno Smith turns it over only 3 times. He hasn't turned it over or thrown it in. He didn't turn it over here. He didn't throw interceptions. It was a weird sort of the Jets playing opposite their strengths in some level and playing to them in others. They ran the ball. That's a strength of theirs.
It was definitely an intriguing game, you know, from the high-level view, you know, because it really was a chess match.
Yes.
You know?
Now, I think you need to throw the ball this week. This is a week where I won't be criticizing Josh for not, I think you throw and then run later. I think this week it's important to get off to a fast start. The Jets don't score. You've been having trouble with fast starts. You know, the Jets are probably emotionally on a little bit of a peak where if it goes south, then maybe it snowballs south. I think this is a game where you need to come out. You know, the Patriots haven't scored more than 7 points in the first quarter since week 4.
Really?
Week 5.
Wow.
Like, they barely score. Last week, they scored because you had a blocked kick return, a weird play. I think they need to come out, throw the ball, and the Jets' secondary is not good. Their defense is good. They can rush a little bit.
Well, they make up for the secondary because of their front.
But Wilkerson's hurt. They've been playing without him for a month. He's the best player on the front. Yet they're still good as a run defense. They're still one of the better run defenses in football. And they're, going to try to run the ball down your throat because that's what they do. They're looking to run the ball for 200 yards again. But the Patriots' run defense has been much better since that game when they sucked.
Siebel. From France. And
how do you spell that?
Well, it's S-Y-B-I-L, but she says it's pronounced S-E-E-B-I-L-L. So C-Bill. And she's from France, but from Connecticut. Currently listening to your podcast from yesterday, as the wife of a nutritionist and health practitioner, I would like to point out a few things regarding nutrition, avocado ice cream, and juicing. First off, you guys would be better off sticking to what you are experts of, football.
Everything.
Whenever I listen to your food choices, I have to roll my eyes and wish you could be banned from ever talking about food on national radio.
No. We're good at talking about food. We're not good about talking about nutrition.
But what I also think is interesting is she thinks this is national radio, so that's good.
It's actually international.
If kids, as Andy points out, know that vegetables are better for you than cookies, most adults seem to have forgotten it. When you consider the state of health of most Americans in this country, food is not food when it comes from a box, a fast food joint, or is loaded with chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, hormones, antibiotics, sugar, artificial colors, and flavors.
We pick ease and taste over health. It's very simple.
TB12 is avoiding all that crap because he knows the toxic load of eating such a diet would impair his performance. Avocado ice cream was just an example for a healthy alternative to commercial ice creams made with conventional milk and loaded with sugar.
And taste.
I eat a 100% organic diet, consume lots of saturated fats. Yes, saturated fats are good for you. Drink no sodas, eat no junk food, and my life is not miserable. I'm healthy and slim at 49. I have no pains, excellent cholesterol levels, great energy levels.
No fun.
I listen to the show faithfully. Mondays and Fridays are terribly empty without you guys, and loved your coverage of the draft last year. P.S. I have a cleaning business and download your podcast while working. I have to scramble to adjust the volume when you guys start screaming at each other. Could you please quit yelling all the time, she says.
We could use some sort of a... automatic pot us down. So when we start, I mean, I know we have a producer and he's supposed to do that, but he doesn't. We could use an automated one.
Listen, on that subject though, if I had somebody that would prepare these meals for me and, you know, take taste into consideration, I would gladly change my eating habits and eat them.
Me too.
You know, I just can't drive up to a place and get healthy food.
Right. Or afford it, you know, necessarily. Like, I love fish. I think if I had a nutritional, I mean, a cook or whatever, I would tell him, you give me as much fish as you want, as many ways as you want to cook it.
Don't stink up my kitchen, though.
Right. Well, that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's easy. Now, I don't think I would go with the avocado ice cream. I would just, I'd rather eat no ice cream or eat ice cream once a month or once a week than have avocado ice cream. It's not.
Yeah. That's why I said, you know, take taste into consideration.
Right. But you know? I would eat broccoli all the time.
Really?
I love broccoli.
Do you?
Love broccoli.
Vile weed.
What?
I said vile weed.
Why is it a vile weed?
See, you don't watch Seinfeld, so you don't know.
I don't miss anything.
There was another good email on this subject, but there's so many in here, I can't find it.
So should we have her help us out since she's a loyal listener and a nutritionist?
Well, I don't know how much she can really help us out. She's not going to come here and prepare food for us, right?
Yeah, and that's I truly believe most Americans know what good food is and healthy food is. They just pick ease and taste over health. It's very simple, right?
Right.
You pick ease and taste over health. You know that if you eat lettuce, more greens, more, that it'll be better. You don't want it.
Jeez, why can't I find this stupid email?
I don't know. It's good radio. Fred's looking for a stupid email.
Darn it.
I'll fill air while he grunts in the background looking for stupid emails.
No, it was just... I remember seeing it before the show, and I said, oh, I got to read that one. Anyway, Rich in Minnesota writes in, two questions. Why do you think Bill elected to run Jonas Gray at the end of the game instead of taking the knee? Did he want to get Gray more experience? Looked like something I would do to pad my running back stats in Madden. Did you notice that?
I thought, well, Garoppolo was in, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, what are they, opportunity time.
Okay.
I thought it was opportunity time for the young players to get there. The offensive line was different. Solder was out. Conley was out. You know, you had Gray in. You had Garoppolo in. I thought that was an opportunity portion of the game.
But I did think it was a lot. So why not just take a knee? They don't have any timeouts.
Because you got Garoppolo snaps. You got Garoppolo handoffs. You got Garoppolo huddles. I think there's a value in that to Bill Belichick.
One of the reasons proposed for not rushing Aaron Rodgers was because he is more mobile. It looked like Tannehill was very mobile on Sunday, but the pass rush wasn't standing around the line like they were against the Packers. Any guesses why? Maybe we would have pressured him if Jones were healthy then. Love your show. Been listening for over 10 years.
I think some of it was the availability of guys, and I didn't believe that they just flat out didn't pressure. I thought they got blocked more in Green Bay. I thought they did a better job of getting there this week. Now, it might also be the fact that they had more fear of the Green Bay Packers' offense in terms of the weapons. You know, I don't think they feared the big plays and the scoring of Miami as much as they feared Green Bay. But I wasn't a believer that they didn't flat out try to rush at all in Green Bay. I thought they got blocked sometimes.
Woodlands Al writes in, first off, thanks for putting up such a great show week in and week out. I live in the greater Houston area, and your podcast makes it fun to be a fan all year round. I've been consuming your podcast since the year before the Patriot Football Daily app came out. I used to subscribe to the paper, but it sucked getting it the week late.
Sorry.
The app is so much better.
Well, good. Thank you.
Yep.
And that's why we did it.
Since Sunday, you guys have been talking about naming the D. I think that's a great idea, but Island of Doom is way too derivative. I know you can't go that way. Lucky for Patriots Nation, I have a solution. We need to call the D the Isle of Denial.
D-Isle.
D-Isle of Denial. It's got a great Don King alliteration. It would give full credit to Revis while still having miles and miles of marketing opportunities. I like that T-shirt a lot. I like that Christian likes Andy's mother.
Hey, whoa.
Screwed that one up. The one question I have for Paul is back to his proposition that the division is pathetic competition. I do agree, so take it easy, Paul. I just want to know if they are now pathetic because other teams have been chasing a Belichick-quality coach for the last 10 years, or have they always sucked this bad and they were just better the first 5 years of the Belichick era? Thanks again. I look forward to buying lunch for you next time. I'm Woo-hoo! In the Boston area. Keep up the great work. And P.S., whatever happened to James Pettigrew, he brought class to the masses.
I think you'll see him return to the airwaves at some point.
At some point. I think there's something to be said about the dominance of the Patriots pressuring the other teams in this division making bad decisions.
Well, I do. And also making them pay for their bad decisions.
Yeah.
You can't screw up in the East.
Right.
If you screw up, you're done. Because you have very little chance of catching the Patriots anyway. And if you screw up, it's magnified. If you're in another division where things kind of a little more up in the air, you know, like seems like the NFC North is always like dogfighting it out. And you can, if you're the Ravens, you can suck for a little bit and then kind of pull it out. Or the Steelers pull it out in the end. Because nobody's that dominant. The Patriots aren't going to give you that window. They're going to win 12 or 13 games every year. So you're struggling to try to maximize your opportunities, and in doing so, you minimize some of them. Although, I will say, in little tease of my Patriots Football Weekly TV show this week, I think also part of it is the ownership sucks in the East. I think the three owners blow.
Yeah.
You have one who was dying, and at the end of the
road. Well, the new guy, you don't know.
No, but yeah. In the history, right. You know, yeah. When this run has happened,
right.
You had an aging, dying guy in Buffalo, and you have Stephen Ross, who I think is infatuated with entertainment and some of the other stuff and not necessarily, you know, focused on football. And I think Woody Johnson wears a hat with a suit.
Why does he always wear a cap?
I don't know. And why do you call it a cap?
It's a cap.
It's a hat.
All caps are hats, but not all hats are caps. He wears a cap, to be specific.
Baseball cap? All baseball hats are caps.
Yeah,
that's a
in
cap.
My book, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a hat is like a fedora or something? A
hat can be anything. Anything on your head is a hat.
Uh-huh. A toupee is a hat?
You know what I mean.
A cat is a hat?
You know, a fedora is a hat.
Didn't you have a fedora
at
one point?
I still do.
Why don't you wear it?
It got a little beat up. And I don't know, it shrunk or my head got bigger. It doesn't really fit anymore.
Yeah. That's good right there.
I used to love wearing it shoveling snow because of the brim.
You used to wear a fedora while shoveling
snow? Yes, I did.
You are such a weird person. You really are.
It was good because the brim, the snow wouldn't fall. You know.
Yeah, but you were wearing a fedora, and it's not keeping you warm because it doesn't have, like, flaps.
I don't need to be that warm. I'm not a pussy.
I didn't know being warm made you a pussy.
No, I never wear it. My ears never really got cold. It's my hands and feet that I have to protect. If my hands and feet are warm, the rest, I could be naked.
Why don't you try that?
You know, that's all I need.
We had an old coot next down the street from me that used to shovel snow without a shirt on. Like old, like
really?
70s.
He'd go out there with
I think he
shirtless.
Was an old Yankee farmer, also Mother Nature kind of guy.
And he'd go out there without a shirt on and shovel snow.
Yep. Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Okay. All right.
Paul's back.
Speaking of shirtless guys.
Did you know Fred? You know how Fred used to have a fedora? Well, surprisingly, Paul, it doesn't fit anymore. He's like, I'm not sure if it shrunk or if my head grew. More importantly, he used to wear it to shovel snow. That's where he wore his fedora, to shovel snow.
I did.
The man is just walking entertainment. He is the reason behind the success of this show. It's very
Why
simple.
Did you do that? Why did you wear a fedora to shovel
snow? The brim would
snow?
Catch the snow. It just felt right. It just felt right.
It just felt right.
Is that kind of how you live life? It just feels right and you do it?
Yeah, you do. You know,
it explains a lot.
I get home, the first thing I do, and I know a lot of men do it, I take my pants off.
Well, I take my pants off, but I put like mesh shorts on. Yeah. I don't just go around without pants.
Well, I have my boxers on.
Yeah, that's a little weird. That doesn't bother your wife?
No, it doesn't bother my wife, but
I think that's a little
it
weird.
It does bother my son's girlfriend when she's there.
Well, that's just inappropriate. Yeah, yeah. Now you're like a sitcom.
No, that
you're the grumpy old man who doesn't care, who scratches his nuts in front of her.
Here's what happened. You know, before he went off to school, I'd be watching TV I'd take my pants off. But now what I was doing, because I never knew when they were going to walk in the door, I just let my pants fall to the floor so they're at my ankles. So as soon as I hear the door open, I could just pull them up.
Now that's just creepy. makes it seem like he's doing something inappropriate.
It's like Kevin Spacey. I mean, why do you need to have your pants off when this?
It's more comfortable.
Why can't you put mesh shorts on? That is uncomfortable.
I could.
So why don't you?
I don't have to.
Show her the respect of having pants on.
I just put my pants up when she gets there.
And that's weird. That creates awkwardness.
I don't let her see me do that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't think you can be sure of that.
No.
You don't think there's a chance that when they walk in a room, she notices that you're jumping up and pulling your pants up?
No, because the way the door is, you have to go up the stairs, so I have plenty of time to get them up and plenty of, you know.
But wouldn't it be easier to just have mesh shorts on and not have to worry about when you hear the door jumping up and pulling your pants up?
How do you know she's uncomfortable?
What?
How do you know she's uncomfortable then?
Wouldn't you be?
Yes, but if she doesn't know that you're pulling your pants up.
Early on, there were a couple times where I was just sitting there and, you know, I wasn't ready. But that's what, now I'm ready all the time.
I'm sure you are, and she's noticed that. Seriously, this is like a perverted porn or something.
A perverted porn?
Well, you're hitting on your son's girlfriend.
Okay.
Plus, they're boxers. Can't the little flap get stuck open?
Yes, it can.
That's inappropriate.
That's why I have to pull the pants up.
Or just put shorts on.
Otherwise, I wouldn't even bother. But yes.
And your wife is fine with this?
No, but...
But it's my house. I'm the king of my house.
Listen, I don't ask for much.
I ask for the ability to jump up and pull my pants up when people walk.
I don't ask for much. Paul's back. Anything, any news? No, he's eating.
He just housed a sandwich.
Yeah.
Didn't say it was big. I said you housed it. You got a mouthful of sandwich.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
Hey.
Wow. Can we have a show in the off season? Maybe it's going to be like an extended show where Dr. Phil comes in and deals with like everybody's issues for, you know.
Well, to have the issues be dealt with, we'd have to bring in his son's girlfriend, because she's the one that's going to have issues based
Dr.
on this.
Dr. Phil needs to have his issues pointed out.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Anyhow,
by the way, it was a little half of
one
a sandwich.
Just given that we're running out of time here, but on the topic du jour, the New York Jets are an abomination and an affront to everything that is good and decent in humanity. New Jersey should be cut off in its own little league with the Jets and Snake Plissken, and they should play one game a year called Escape from New York. Just send him in there with a double-barreled shotgun. Just take out the whole team.
There you go.
On my question.
Do you hate the Empire State Building, too? Like Belarco?
From Belarco. Classic call.
He hates a
building. He went off.
Is the run game going to pick up going down to these last couple of games and heading into the playoffs like last season, or was that just a matter of circumstances last year? And given that we've had these teams that have, you know, theoretically bad against the run, and the Pats still haven't really been able to dominate them rushing-wise as we would have liked, is that sort of due to the O-line or due to the rushes or a combination?
I don't know.
I think it's a combination. I think part of it's the offensive coordinator, part of it's the offensive line, and part of it is, you know, maybe Blunt not running quite as well as he needs to be.
Yeah, I would put them in that order, though. I would say the offensive line has been the first part, and then the offensive coordinator not necessarily committing to the run against what I think have been some bad run defenses. Now, these last 2 weeks, they're not terrible run defenses, Buffalo and the Jets. They're pretty good against the run. So maybe you will see a little bit more of a pass-heavy approach, but who knows with them. They're way wild and wacky. Right.
See, they think you're going to think that you might think.
Yeah, they know that we know that they know it's one of those things. Yeah.
So you might
they're going to start
change.
Garoppolo.
Eric's here, and he's was at practice. Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
Any news from practice?
It's mostly good news. Dominique Easley is the only player who wasn't out there, and by all accounts, I'm sure you guys touched on this, he's headed for
reserve. Get that news from Sweden.
Yeah. Marcel had to tell us.
Yeah.
You didn't know that going in?
And then Kevin, I go, thanks for updating us. He goes, 10 minutes ago that came out.
Well, I didn't know it last Friday.
No, that's when the report first came out, right?
Yeah. Well, that they were considering it.
Right.
Yeah. But you want to consider it?
It was reported that Steve Mineri was on the roster and Easley was on IR, and that was out, and Marcel told us.
Right.
And Kevin goes, yeah, I saw that. You know, well, why didn't you tell us? Look, he's just smirking in there.
And there's a new, there's a third quarterback now on the practice
Gilbert
squad.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Garrett Gilbert or some such.
From the Rams.
Yes, late of the Rams. Wearing wearing number 8 as the other quarterback that we had here earlier this year for a couple of stints with the weird long name.
Don't look over here.
Bethel Thompson.
Oh, Bethel Thompson, yeah. McLeod, McLeod Johnson.
Oh, yeah, McLeod, I remember Bethel him. Thompson. Now that you say the name, I remember.
I don't think I ever got it right when he was here, and I think I just got it right.
McLeod Bethel Thompson,
Thompson.
I think, yeah.
That's a weird first name.
Mac.
But everybody else on the roster, including the aforementioned Steve Mineri, was out on the field. So,
what number was Steve Mineri wearing, out of curiosity?
86, which he wore the last time I think he was here.
Well, I was curious to see if they wanted an extra tackle or an extra tight end.
And maybe both.
Or an extra tight end who's essentially a tackle.
Exactly.
No, we talked about that, you know, given last week we had questioned, you got to bring Cannon in, you got to put Soldier out, you got to put Soldier out for a play.
You're with me. You're with me, Andy. They didn't like the performance of your boy, the $9 million man.
Who's my boy?
Cannon.
Whoa. He is the opposite end of the spectrum of my boy.
Although Cameron Fleming, who by just our eyeball test seems to be the preferred guy in that spot.
Yes.
Is
at least for that 1 week when he was dominant.
Well, yeah. But
that he did it.
He's been practicing and he...
Is he still getting that thing in the locker room? Is he still walking through while having stimulus on his ankle?
I didn't see him in the locker room today.
So now you think Mineri is long for the roster, or do you think they just have him around just in case that they feel like they can't get anything out of Fleming?
I'd say that the latter, Paul.
Yeah, I don't long for the roster. I don't.
No,
like the rest of the way. I mean, obviously, there's only 2 weeks left in the season, but do you think he'll stick with them through the?
I thought they were going to probably play 3 games in the postseason.
Yeah. Do you think he'll stick with
five games?
No, I don't.
I don't know why that's so hard to understand.
Did you? You got it?
I got it.
I would be surprised.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
So really, you're the fat head around here.
I'm
because your hat is no longer fit.
I think I'm the getting fatter head.
Your fat head.
Yeah.
You have a fedora you can't wear because your head grew.
Yeah. Really?
It doesn't seem to fit as well as
although it could be that you wore it in the snow, so it got dry and wet and dry.
That's what I think
might be.
Your
baseball hat doesn't fit.
Why did you wear the fedora in the snow?
I use it to shovel snow.
You use
it's
the fedora
unanimous,
to
by the way.
Snow.
Yeah.
It's unanimous. John Rook.
You ever wear a fedora to shovel snow?
Yes, Paul.
Have you ever worn a fedora to shovel snow?
A fedora to shovel snow. I've worn a fedora. I have shoveled snow. I have never done both simultaneously.
Never the two have crossed.
You got to try it.
That's 4 for 4.
You got to try it.
I will attempt it.
Did you want to look Natalie dressed while you were shoveling?
No.
The Natalie clad Fred Kirsch.
You should call the late Tom Landry and ask him. You lived in Texas most of your life, but did you ever shovel snow?
Was his a fedora?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a something.
Yeah, it was a fedora.
Yeah but mine's a more wide-brim fedora than those.
Tom Landry wore a fedora.
Yeah, but it wasn't as wide-brimmed as the one I have.
So that was more conducive to shoveling snow.
He liked to get that really
out. Type fedora. You know, it's the small brim. This has a wider brim.
Woody Hayes used to wear a baseball hat with the O in the middle, and the Ohio State hat.
The big thick glasses.
A cap.
You're thinking of Bear Bryant?
Oh, Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant wore a...
A thin brim.
Like
fedora,
a houndstooth.
Fedora.
Houndstooth. I was trying to think of the tooth, but I couldn't think of it. aren't you guys glad I came back from all
What else did you have on? I mean, so you had the fedora and like a puffy jacket?
Winter jacket.
Go all in.
Jacket.
We got food down in KSP.
Gloves, boots.
Although Fred has admitted that the head is not really his issue for the cold. It's mostly his hands and his feet.
No, the ears aren't my issue.
So he said, quote, if you keep my hands and feet warm, I could be naked and I'd be fine.
It's true.
So you would just go from the house where you walk around in your skivvies all the time. And
there are two important games. I mean, I think they're going to win them, and all, but they need to win these two games to get the number one seed. This is the best you could do.
It's
being a very entertaining.
Naked
show.
And afraid while the ball covered.
All the Patriots
snow?
Are practicing except for Dominique Easley. I think that's a good sign for this team.
It is.
At this point in the year.
And he's been irrelevant anyway.
He has been irrelevant. So it's like he's not. He hasn't practiced all year, basically.
Very
irrelevant reserve list now.
Yeah, irrelevant reserve.
My vision for this year was that, you know, as he got closer to the playoffs, he would
come on.
Right.
I was with you.
Yeah.
So change that vision to you got fresh legs.
No, yeah. you got fresh legs from Chandler Jones.
You got Chandler Jones.
Sure. Right.
You got athletes.
Yeah. Right. Well, the Chandler Jones thing that development on Sunday was probably one of the best things that happened in that game, was to see how
how active he was.
Well, just
and
he
playing.
Looked like he had fresh legs.
Yeah,
he looked like a guy who hadn't played in 7 weeks.
Right, he should. And he was chomping at the bit.
He was ready to go. I think the second half of that game was probably the best development. You see, you lost your guy off the practice squad too. Did you see that?
Yeah, the pescatarian. Casey it's good Walker. For him though. Inner Harbor there, a lot of pescatarian availability.
Okay. Casey Walker was signed by Baltimore.
Baltimore
practice
53.
Squad.
Do you ever feel like, you know, you're like on the outside looking
in? Yes, that's why I had to tell him. He had this glazed
look. I don't know what they're
eye.
Talking about. Sometimes it hurts.
It's like that commercial for Netflix where everyone's talking a different language because they're watching shows and he doesn't have Netflix.
No,
And then he's just like, what? You never saw that?
No.
Okay. Mike in Virginia Beach is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey.
What's up?
Not calling you out, but pointing out, first of all, Andy, I believe it's champing at the bit. I've heard that before. That's the appropriate phrase.
Eric just said it.
I think it is champing. It's champing.
Oh, Eric, I'm sorry. And has anybody called
it
Andy
spelled
for the
champ,
Brady Likes?
Like champ.
Did anybody call it Andy for the Brady Likes voice joke, or did nobody even get it? Or was it not supposed to be a joke?
Oh, no. It's always a joke when we say boys. Whenever we say somebody likes
usually
boys.
Me. Paul likes boys.
Right. He likes Gase, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I like boys, although not as much after this training camp. He had a terrible training camp.
All right, so I'm going to share with you a story, an article I read, and this is a pretty unknown fact, actually. Remember back in the day when it was the Meadowlands, you'd see trash blow across the field, and, you know, there was a lot of joking about, you know, that's the product on the field. I think there was even maybe a couple articles that were written like that.
Yeah.
Well, a little known fact, the city of New York set aside hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to prevent that with the MetLife Stadium so that, you know, that wouldn't happen, so they'd have extra bodies and people to pick up trash. But they had to take the money back when they realized that the majority of the trash in the stadium paid for their tickets. Yes, I wrote that joke. That's an original. Thank you.
Okay. I'm surprised.
Really?
Well done. No, I'm just kidding. That was good.
Good, Mike. Good, Mike. All right.
That was a Fred Kirsch-like delivery, though.
Let's see.
Which is to say, not good.
John in South Carolina, I love the work you do. Listen to PFW in Progress in both the pre- and post-game shows. I may not always agree with you guys, but you usually make your points enough so I stop and at least consider it. However,
something
stood out just a little weird yesterday when you were talking about Brady and his self-promotion about healthy eating. I get Paul's point about the relaxation concussion. The science doesn't seem to back the claim up. However, the rest of the comments from you guys laughing at Brady because he is promoting his healthy workout/eating regimen, calling it snake oil, and everything else seemed a little much. Brady was saying if you are great and you are trying to figure out how to get even more performance, do what I do. You guys just destroyed him for it. The science does back up what Brady is saying about getting more performance. It points to differences of how Brady and Manning are treated. Manning is hawking Oreos and Papa John's pizza, and he is seen as wholesome. Brady says
So you think he eats those just because he advertises for him?
Let him finish.
No.
Brady says, follow my regimen of working out and extremely healthy eating, and he is peddling snake oil.
No. He's asking you to go to TB12 Performance Center. He's selling the organization and the plan that he represents.
Manning sells Papa John's in the Denver version.
And it's damn good.
And the Denver version of PFW was talking about how good that cow crap is on their broadcast. Brady says eat avocados, and you guys tear him up for selling snake oil. I just don't get how you guys are sunshine.com.
Oh, the last part's accurate.
you missed.
I've
the
never
whole,
understood the sunshine.
You missed the whole point of our.
I don't think
talk
we said that he.
Not
some,
at all.
An emailer might have said that, but I don't think we said it was snake oil.
Oh, no.
I think we did.
No,
I
just Andy,
think,
Andy I just, uses that term all the time,
I,
but not about.
I just
if you
I,
eat well,
I'm
it's
saying,
gonna.
I can't sustain that.
Right.
Yeah. I can't do it.
The snake oil isn't that if you eat well, you'll be healthier. That's not the snake oil part of it. The snake oil part of it is if you eat well and you're healthier, you'll be a great quarterback or
right.
a great athlete. That's the science that's not backed up.
Right.
Brady's not great because of his diet.
Like, for example, he mentioned in that story where Alex Guerrero had said, you know, you're having elbow problems, you're having shoulder problems, the muscles in your forearms are too tight from traditional lifting, we need to go to bands. Brady was actually talking about bands today, more the ones for his legs, but he loves resistance bands, he's been doing it for a long time. That I buy. You know, a different way of training scientifically. But to tie avocado ice cream to he's a good quarterback on the field, I think is borderline ridiculous. I think to assume that Peyton Manning eats pizza all the time and Oreos because he advertises for pizza and Oreos is ridiculous.
Or to assume that if Manning, which I have seen some people do, Tom did not do this, but I've seen some people correlate that the reason Manning has had the problems with his neck is because he doesn't adhere to this diet, doesn't do this TB12 method. That's absurd.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And like, okay,
that's all I'm saying that I'm laughing. I'm not laughing that eats a healthy diet. The alkalinity. We had some fun with the wording yesterday.
And overall,
the batteries, the alkaline batteries,
the Hasidic.
But we're not questioning that. If this diet that Tom Brady is on will make you a healthier person.
Correct.
Yeah. No one's arguing that. Yeah, no one.
Will it make you a better football player?
No.
Well, that's the thing. And he believes it will. And I'm not saying Brady.
But that is fine.
But I'm not saying Brady's doing this per se, but there's so much stuff out there, especially aimed at the high school and 8th, 7th grade kids and their parents saying, you know, do this. And so many kids now have personal trainers at like 13 years old.
Right. Todd Marinovich was on a strict diet that he didn't eat anything bad. And he was bred to be a quarterback, basically. And
look how that worked out.
How'd that work?
Yeah.
And also, I don't know.
Okay. All right. John,
we did have some fun at that expense yesterday. There's no question. Andy definitely used the term snake oil.
Oh, yeah. And I stand by that. Because
there's
I think
science behind
the fact that he feels like he's going to go on the road and on a stage and promote this neurological training for concussions is borderline snake oil.
I agree with Paul. The idea that if you do this, if you're good, it'll make you better, could be true. But if you're not good, it's not going to make you good.
And it might not make you better.
Yeah.
Like LeBron James. Imagine if LeBron trained like this. What? He'd be the best player in the NBA he already is?
Like to suggest that LeBron James is eating bonbons all day and looking like that.
He probably isn't. He's probably doing the right thing.
Right. But Brady said.
But it doesn't have to be that. That's what I'm saying. Like there's no doubt, again, there's no doubt that Brady eats healthy, and that makes him a healthier person. There's no doubt.
I also would look at it differently if the TB12 training center didn't exist. If he was just preaching this is what I do, then it's one thing. But the fact that I know you are on the record saying you might go with a white suit and talk to thousands of people and sell it makes it a little snake oil feely.
Remember the crazy guy from Denver, the linebacker who was
Bill
just
Romanowski.
Bill Romanowski. He was
a GNC guy.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he would take literally a plate full of pills every day. Yeah.
That and steroids.
Wow.
And a cocktail.
Right.
I mean, well, but the thing you're talking about, remember like there was a whole era, and we might still be in it, of necklaces and bracelets and like ionic or magnetic.
All the pitchers wear the titanium. Yeah.
And some of those have gotten in big trouble because they're claiming things that aren't true.
Right.
You can't claim it. And this had a little bit of a feel like
that. You know, you hear all those stories about the literal snake oil salesman that would pull into town in the covered wagon and take everybody's money and then go to the next town. It's no different today if you watch TV, the stuff that they're trying to sell.
Infomercials, yeah.
It's no different.
Enzyte. Be a longer-lasting man now.
It's just a different platform. The claims that they make, you know?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Well, I say that one because Jimmy Johnson was the spokesman, and the guy went to prison for it.
Oh. All right. Anyway.
But they were a big timer.
Anyway, it was good talking football with everyone. John's here for the playbook. John, what's going on?
We'll continue the football talk.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No. You'll start the football talk.
Oh, okay. We'll start the football talk. Thank you, Paul.
I saw Mike Reese in the press box on Sunday, and he was saying, I had a great hour with John Rook on his show.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
I think we all know that, you know? Yeah. And I made sure that everybody understood he started here.
That's right.
Yes, he started with PFW, so we make sure that everybody understands that. Mike's great to just sit and chat with. We're going to try to do it again maybe during the bye week, if, of course, there is a bye week.
Right.
I want to jump the gun.
There'll be a bye week.
Okay, but we're going to try to do that again if he's got the time, because he's the busy man all the time on SportsCenter.
Right. Yep.
So Larry Hardesty from ESPN 98.7 in New York will join us on the program today to talk about the JETS and whether or not this is Rex's last meeting with New England.
Sounds good. And then the Bob Soucy Show at 4. We'll see you tomorrow.
No fantasies?
No, Bob Soucy.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.